across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation, the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Let's go to Geeky Girl.
Hello.
Hello there, Mr. Cowbell.
Dong, dong, dong. No, oh. You remember that cowboy that I bought, I gave to my gran? Well, she's passed away since we last spoke.
So you could probably get it back. No, hang on, we spoke recently. Did she pass away?
She passed away last Christmas, and it was buried with her.
You didn't bury... Why did you bury a cowgirl with your gran?
Not a cowgirl, a cowbell.
Cowbell. I got this cute, cuddly goat from some goat milk company, and I got this lovely
Yuckled.
Cowbell from the Black Forest in Germany.
Okay, you can't call it the Black Forest anymore. It's the Forest of Colour.
Is it racialist?
Yes, it is. Right. You're a racist. You just can't... We have established this week, this very week, Gigi, we have established you can't say anything anymore.
I'm out of order.
Totally out of order.
Yep. Anyway, what can we do for you on this fine, fine evening?
Well, first of all, this Brighton gig does sound nuts, and I'm very much looking forward to the podcast. I'm so sorry I couldn't be there.
It was awful.
Everything will shrivel when you're listening to it, everything.
It was awful. I don't think me and Kath were firing on all cylinders anyway. I think it was a solid gig, but it wasn't a great gig.
We hadn't really got into the flow of it. It was quite early on.
We'd had some technical problems. We got there with not much time, and I'd forgotten some equipment that we needed, and we hadn't quite taken off. We were getting some funnies, but it was not as hitting. It wasn't hitting as much as we would like it to. And then there was a dark vortex of energy, negative energy sat in direct eyeline with me, just tutting and yawning and really, really killing the vibe.
Great big theatrical yawn, outstretched arms.
And here's the thing,
and then, why are you paying attention to me?
Here's the thing, I had a tweet afterwards from someone pretending to be Mary from Brighton, saying that I'd made the whole, it was my fault.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
But Mary didn't seem to acknowledge that when she called in, so maybe it was another Mary. Maybe it was a fake Mary.
Mary, quite contrary.
Yeah, got to be careful how you say that.
How did the garden grow?
With popples and bells and cocky dog tails.
Maybe.
Poppers. My local petrol station sells poppers. Do you want some? I'm just thinking I might get a load on the way to work one night, and if anyone wants them, you can have them.
Hey, why not? Do I sound northwestern yet?
Do you sound what?
Northwestern.
No, you sound muffled. I don't know if that's a northwestern.
No,
am I muffled? Is this any better?
Yes. Oh, now you're speaking into your phone. Yes, significantly.
I'm literally cupping my hand to my phone. I don't think my phone's very good, so I'm cupping my hand.
What you carrying these days? What model you got? What's your phone?
What are you working with?
Yeah.
Oh dear. Well, I'm thinking about these lovely cats. I mean, first of all, well done for championing Cats Protection.
Yeah, love it.
My parents got some golden oldies from them.
Okay. Are you high on a drug tonight, Geeky Girl?
Oh dear. I've been out quite late and I'm up quite early, so.
She's been smoking a bit of the old wacky backy.
Oh, if only. Oh. No, sadly not. No.
No. Okay.
But what about something like poppy? Poppy and.
Heroin?
Now, you must have missed the part where you said, we don't want your suggestions, this is all us.
Oh, I'm sorry, I must have missed that. Do you know, between listening to the radio on my phone and then getting on the line...
Geeky, you're Poppy's a great name, we'll put it on the list.
No,
thank
we won't,
you. We'll
no.
Put it on my list.
No, you've already chosen yours, it's my turn.
Geeky, you're a big fan of radio, right?
Oh, massively, yeah.
I tell you what, why don't you rattle off... Some famous regular callers to this show.
To this show. All right. What about, bear with me, we've got Nigel from Maidstone.
Stop right there. Say hello to Nigel from Maidstone.
Hello, Nigel.
Hello.
Nigel, I asked her to name some famous regular callers to the show. You probably weren't listening, but you were the first one that she... I didn't even have time to get
hasn't
my belt.
Has she got a list up in front of her?
Sorry?
No.
Have you got... Can't she see my name on the internet or something?
How could she see your name on the internet or something? And Nigel,
how
you're...
How come she mentioned... You must have told her to mention me first.
No, I didn't. That was totally sponsored, wasn't it, Geeky Girl?
Totally. Well, who is Nigel from Maidstone? I thought of you first.
What's your name? Is it Dickie?
Dickie.
I'm Geeky Girl.
Dickie.
Geeky.
Nicky.
Yeah. It is, isn't it?
Something like that.
Just say yeah.
I can't hear clearly on this phone.
No, we can't hear clearly, Nigel. Why is it so muffled?
Hang on.
Took your phone out of the sock. Okay, fine. Yeah. Yes, it's
Is that any better?
Okay, yeah, sure. It's Geeky Girl.
Oh, Geeky.
Dicky. Dicky
Girl.
Dicky Girl,
yeah.
Dicky
Girl, yeah. Catch, right?
Who's a Dicky Girl?
Who's a naughty girl?
Oh. Okay, that's creepy. So, Nigel, what can we do for thee?
I just rang in to I was a bit fed up, and I was watching Tom Cruise for 2 hours, and I got so much fed up with all the violence in the films again, shooting one another and everything.
He is gorgeous, though, isn't he?
Who's this?
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise.
Little pocket rocket.
Yeah, I thought he said the news.
He's built himself up, hasn't he, Kat?
He certainly has.
He's quite muscly now, isn't he?
I can't understand a word Nigel's saying. Can you understand
him? Yes, we're talking about sexy Tom Cruise.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what era Tom Cruise?
Yeah, he's not very tall, but he's quite broad, I think.
Yeah.
He's shorter than Kath. He's 5'3".
Do you think he's more muscly than me? You've seen my films, my videos.
Is it 1980s Tom Cruise or noughties Tom Cruise?
I remember that one, the Officer and a Gentleman, wasn't it? Officer and a Gentleman.
He wasn't in that. That's
what was the one he was in?
That's Richard Gere. Oh, again.
I'm thinking of a similar film.
You're thinking of A Few Good Men because he's wearing a white suit on the cover of that.
Right. Yeah, similar type of thing, isn't it?
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yes. He was good in that. That must be about 40 years ago now.
Yeah, 40 years ago.
About 40
years. Right, hang on a second. Let me...
I've got my Christmas lights up again.
Up where?
In the window. Yes. You know Mum's bedroom?
Yes, I do know it.
I've got lights in Mum's bedroom, which I had last year, and some in the front room.
Beautiful.
And I'm the only house that's got lights in my for a long way around.
Because it's not Christmas yet.
No, but it brightens
It's nice. I've seen a few Christmas lights up, and I'm dreading.
What's all this Black Friday about, Ian?
Well, basically, what it means is...
Does it mean everything's going to go wrong?
No, what it means is that, you know, black people... Joking.
Yes.
Black Friday means that that shops pretend they're selling stuff really, really cheaply, when it turns out only 1 in 20 things are actually cheaper than they've been the rest of the year, according to which...
So I don't need to black up then, Ian.
You do not... I can get... Geeky Girl, Catherine, sit back. I can get us out of this. You do not need to black up, Nigel, because that would be offensive.
Yeah, for my minstrel show.
That would be offensive to people of colour and different ethnicities.
Do you remember the Black and White Minstrel Show?
I did. I used to have one of my first albums. My first three albums was the 1812 Overture, the Monkees' first LP, and the Black and White Minstrels.
Yeah, it was every Saturday night, wasn't it, show with guests on and things like that.
Terrible. Yep, okay, terrible. Yeah, we got terrible program. All right.
See, I'm a big fan of Tom Cruise. He's a very good actor, isn't he?
He's one of the best.
One of the best actors.
Have you seen The Mummy?
What, you mean my insurance?
Sorry?
What are you talking about? His mummy.
Have you seen His Mummy?
No, how much? His Mummy?
Have you seen Tom Cruise's Mummy?
No.
She's a very attractive lady.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant she was dead. Oh, sorry.
Okay. All right, Nigel. Well, listen.
Yeah, I wanted to do a song.
The phone line's not good enough tonight, I'm afraid, Nigel.
Oh, okay.
Thanks very much. Maybe we'll speak later on in the week. You think we've done Geeky Girl? You did that.
Phone in alert. Well, do you remember Tom Cruise? 03444991000.
Have you seen Tom Cruise's Mummy? You made that happen by saying him. You could have named any other caller and they would have magically appeared, and you made him appear.
Wow. And it escalated so quickly.
Always does.
My seven, I've said that so many times in front of my kids, hoping they would pick up on it. And my 7-year-old says it now, which is, which just makes me so, so happy. I love it. Geeky girl, that's nice fine. To talk to you. Up your bum.
Don't you mean up your bum bum?
Oh, there we go. Very definite. John, Dave, stay there. We'll come to you in a bit. 0344-499-1000. This is Talk Radio.
Closing time conversation for tax inspectors, taxi drivers, and taxidermists. Great big talk for the wee small hours.
You've been trolling me big time, mate.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We got Ronnie Spector soon.
We've
got Ronnie Spector. We'll play that in a bit. And here's the thing as well. Great new single. There's always a bit, the PR guy said, if you could mention the new single, gulp, okay. And then I listened to it. Oh, it's great. Oh, it's great. We'll play it. We'll play that. It's a Christmas song. First Christmas song.
It's a duet with Elle King, who did X's and O's. I think it was last year.
X's and O's. I know the name
of
that.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's a really, really good song. And it's like proper old school. Anyway, Ronnie Spector, she's doing some gigs. We're going, we're trying to blag some freebies, and if we can't, you know what, we'll buy some tickets, we'll take the night off work. We're off on the 12th, let's take the 19th off. We're taking 2 weeks off over Christmas. We're back up for New Year's Eve, which I think is the Tuesday, I think Monday or Tuesday, I can't remember. We're doing 10 till 2. And did you not know that?
No.
Okay, we're doing 10 till 2. Don't make any, well, I don't know. So we're doing 10 till 2, and then, you know, come and get the show while it's hot. That's all I can say.
Or even lukewarm, but yes, while it's here.
While it, come and get the, here's the thing, guys, right? Come and get the show while it's here. I can't, you know, I can't say any more than that. Come and get the show while it's here. Don't read too much into that either, but, you know, I've said too much. Let's go to John!
Hi, Ian.
Hello, John!
How you doing? I'm a new caller and a new listener. I've defected from TalkSport.
Yes, mate. Oh, those thickos, Cundy and Goldstein. Those thick football chomping idiots.
They get on your wick.
They get on my John Wick 1, 2 and 3. They killed my dog! Which I think is a John Wick reference, although I couldn't really sit through all of the first one. I found it so boring. John, it's nice to have you on board, mate.
Yeah, good. Good to speak to you. You were talking about Barry Manilow?
Yes.
I was dragged up on Barry Manilow.
Oh.
Unfortunately. Him, and do you remember a guy called Jack Jones?
I do remember Jack Jones. What was Jack Jones's hit?
Oh, I can't
didn't
remember.
Didn't he have a ukulele?
Mum.
No, he didn't have a ukulele.
No, he was like he was sort of like Jack Johnson version of Sinatra, wasn't he? He was a bit of a crooner.
He was a crooner. He had sort of white hair. I remember him sort of having white hair and white wearing hair. A tuxedo and singing for the ladies. Yes, Jack.
My mum loved him. Yeah. Absolutely loved him.
He was all right. So you listen to Manilow and Jack Jones a lot, right? And I was brought up on Neil Diamond and Dr. Hook, and I hated it.
I go out singing Neil Diamond to this day.
Shut up, really?
Yeah, I've been singing Neil Diamond songs in pubs and clubs.
You're joking. Do you do it as an act? Do you do a Neil Diamond act, or are you just like a singer?
I don't, mate. I tried the wig. I'm bald. I tried the wig, and I thought, this ain't happening. This is really not good. So I don't confess to sounding like him.
No.
Because I have people, you don't sound a bit like him. But that's not the idea. No. I like singing his songs and doing them as I do it.
Well, here's the thing, right? So I grew up with Dr. Neil Diamond, and I hated it and hated it. It was all we'd hear in our house. And then at some point, I loved it. And I love both of them. I'm friends with Dennis, the singer from Dr. Hook now. And I love Neil Diamond. I've seen him about 6-7 times. So yeah. I wonder if the same thing had happened with you and Manilow and Jack Jones. Had you suddenly come round? Sorry?
How old are you?
I'm 46.
Okay, so I'm 51, so...
You've got a young voice.
Yes, isn't
very it? Young voice.
Have I?
Yeah, you've got a young voice. I'd have said late 30s, mate.
No, well, I should be so lucky. Well,
the bald hair did make me think, but no, I'd have said...
You could have been Jason Statham.
Could have been, actually. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, I shave it.
Yeah, all right, mate. All right, yeah. Well, we know why you shave it.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
It's like when you see these old singers from the 60s and 70s wearing hats. They go, guys, we know what's going on under there. It really doesn't bother us. I'll still come to your concerts. Yeah, nothing is going on.
Barry Manilow's best song is Please Don't Be Scared. Do you know it?
No, I don't know that one.
You must know it.
Why is this? Why do people not believe me tonight when I say I don't know something? Off the top of my head, I can't think of Please Don't Be Scared.
There's a light behind your eyes. I see it shining. It only fades when you cry. You know it, see?
I do know it. Keep going.
So
I can't cry.
Please remember. Don't be scared. Because I've stood there
too.
Between the Bible
and the right thing to do.
Oh, yeah.
Because only the strong admit their fears. And if you really need me,
my baby,
I'll always be here.
I tell you a better song than that.
Go on, then.
Just one voice singing in the darkness. All it takes is one voice.
I quite like,
you know I can't smile without you. Come on, John. I can't smile without you. I can't laugh. I can't sing. I find it hard to play with my thing, you know.
I've got one.
Go on.
I remember all my life, raining down as cold as ice. Shadows of a man, a face in a window, crying in
all right.
The night.
What was that song? What was that song originally called?
Andy.
Oh.
No, well.
It should have been.
No.
Handy.
Hand Shandy.
No!
No, it was called Brandy.
Oh, Brandy.
What's the song that goes, I've been trying to get the feeling.
It's very shouty compared to his smooth vocals.
Let me play the, hang on, stay there. Right, the end, I can't remember the beginning, right? Barry Manilow, trying to get the feeling, right? Listen to the beginning, then I'm going to go to the end. It's the most dramatic end to any song ever.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
He can't be.
Here we go. Here we go. Listen to this. Don't feel my woman is coming back home yesterday. Could you maybe give me something? Viagra. Because he's. Because the feeling is gone and I just get it back. Right away, before she sees me crying. I've been up, down, trying to get the feeling. Right, so you go, now we go to the end, right, here we go. Here we go.
And low, and everywhere I possibly can.
Here we go. Here we go, Barry. This is how you end a song.
Key change?
Cause I've been trying to get the feeling.
John, you want to quit now, buddy.
That was dramatic, but I give you that.
Yeah.
And I raise you.
Go on.
For dramatic purposes, we're not going Manilow, we're going someone else now.
Oh, okay.
And I think this is an artist that we need to reassess.
Okay.
Because I think for too long,
yeah,
she's been seen as maybe a little bit of a joke.
Dannii Minogue.
Celine Dion.
Okay, yeah.
It's
all,
John's thinking, get back into Cundy and Goldstein, I mean.
This is about as far away from that as you can get. Right. The most dramatic song in the world ever.
Yes.
It's All Coming Back to Me Now.
Okay.
Do you know this one?
Yeah. You know this one, John.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I do, yeah.
There were nights like when the wind was so... Right, listen to that one.
Okay, well, all right, we'll find it.
Honestly.
How does Barry Manilow do concerts?
Have you heard that song, that Courage? Have you heard, seen Courage?
Is it good? She's incredible.
It is a beautiful song, but if you watch the video,
here's the thing.
She looks like an alien.
She's
you
bonkers.
You know what I mean when you see it?
Yeah. Get this.
Yeah.
Oh, this is, yeah. That candle's too close to that curtain.
Wait, candle's getting blown out.
Okay, it's 6 minutes long.
It's worth it.
I'm not listening to all of it.
Just listen to the beginning, then the end. Tell me about drama.
Okay. Okay.
There were nights when the wind was so cold.
Okay, that's the beginning.
Oh, come on. You never started.
It's 6 minutes long.
Forgive you all that. We forgive and forget, and it's all.
He's a ghost in it, the man. Died in a motorbike.
He came back to her and he gave her a really good ride on that bike.
Blimey.
It's not very dramatic, but this is it.
You miss it. You've gone beyond the climax.
Really,
she's calming down now.
It's the end.
It goes really big.
She blows everyone's heads off.
John. Yeah. The thing was songs that end big. That song gets big in the last three quarters, but then it wimps
out. She climbs down, yeah.
My favourite Celine Dion video, she did a song that the Bee Gees wrote for her.
Yeah, and in the Immortality.
And there's a in the video, they're sort of listening to the playback and they both turn to each other and look and sort of nod, going, yeah, that was great. We're great.
It's a great song. It's a brilliant song.
I like Celine Dion.
Who's your favourite ever male vocalist? If you had to pick one male vocal, who would it be?
Well, there's only one, the greatest rock and roll star this country has ever served up, Gary Glitter. Jokes! I'm the greatest male vocalist. I genuinely think that Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees has got the greatest white pop soul voice. I think he's got an amazing... You listen to him doing the fade-out of I'm a Believer. He's got a great soul voice, and he doesn't get the credit for it. So I would put him up there. But the greatest male... I mean, the greatest male vocalist... Neil Hannon from The Divine Comedy.
No. He's great, but he's no Marvin Gaye.
I've heard of him.
Hang on a minute. I've got two idiots are talking to me now. John, I'll come to you in a minute. Of course he's not Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye's incredible.
So is Neil Hannon.
Yeah. He's great, but they're different. But Marvin Gaye is a great.
Yeah, they're different. Marvin Gaye I quite like, but I can take or leave him. You know me, I'm racist.
Oh, my God.
John, you've never heard of The Divine Comedy?
No.
Oh, wow. Right. Give him one.
I'm not. We play too much music. Again, you don't get that on Talk Sport, guys.
No.
John,
so many times.
John, so where are you playing next? Do you do a lot of gigs then?
So I've got a little charity gig for a hospice next week.
Beautiful.
On Thursday night in a little country pub with an open fire, and that should be nice.
Yeah.
I don't do too much, mate, but I do. It's not my full-time job, but that's what I do.
Do you enjoy it?
I absolutely love it.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Then that's it, isn't it? That's what it's all about. And the people that you do it for love it.
Yeah, well, they seem to, all three of them.
You are the sort of act I would love to see in a pub.
Yeah. Here's the thing, right? If me and Kath saw you in a pub, we'd have a chat with you in the interval, and we would keep our fingers crossed that halfway through the second set, you go... I got a couple of people in here tonight, and I was chatting to them, and I'd like to give them a break. They would like to come and join me on stage now.
And we do this. Oh, we couldn't. Yeah, okay, hang on.
Yeah.
The triangle. The version.
John, it's nice to talk to you, mate. Thanks for switching over, and thanks for giving us a call. Cheers, mate. There we go.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
The radio show that knows truth is always stranger than fiction.
Week Monday, I get shoes.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Because they're too real to be part of my imagination.
On Talk Radio.
Good evening, Dave.
Good evening, Ian. Good evening, Kath.
Do you want to clear your throat there, David?
Yeah, I'm all right now.
Okay. Good. You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. What?
Swallowed it.
Oh. I could never, Dave, and I bet you're like me, right? Sensitive and artist. No, I bet you are. I could never do those really good flobs. You know, like a
no.
I could never do it. And I had people that could, friends at school who would stand on the third floor over the banister and they could do a long one that would be hanging about 1.5 floors down before it dropped.
Oh, my.
They could do a greenie. They could do a flob and make it hit with pinpoint accuracy. And if I spit, it just kind of sprays back in my face. I've never been able to do a good flob.
No.
I can't belch. I can't belch. I can't belch the alphabet. I belch the word.
Okay, hang on a minute. Let me just... I'm going to just get in touch with Pride of Britain, because surely for that and the bravery in going through all
I
that...
I can't belch. I haven't got a sphincter in my mouth. Okay. David, what can we do for you on this... Oh, we're going to play... have we got enough time to play... We'll play Ronnie Spector... Straight after midnight. That's what we're going to do.
All right,
that's what we're going to do. We'll play Ronnie Spector straight after midnight. That's what we're going to do. Yes, David.
Looking forward to that, yeah.
Oh, she was great, man. And we mentioned you. We mentioned you to her. We did.
Not even joking.
Not even joking.
Oh, well.
I was kind of hoping she'd offer some backstage passes. She didn't. But we do mention you to her.
Great.
Anyway, so she knows about you.
spooky songs.
Yes. Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, exactly. That's how long I've been on the phone. Under My Thumb, or Under Your Thumb by Godley and Cream.
Well, yeah, Under My Thumb is the Rolling Stones. It's about misogyny.
Under Your Thumb by Godley and Cream.
By Godley, have you been drinking?
A bit.
No.
where he's on a deserted station, he gets on a train and this woman seems to be behind him singing at him.
Yeah.
And he picks up a newspaper and there was something very strange indeed.
Oh.
The front page had a woman who threw herself from a train. And somehow underneath the photograph of the woman, it says, I won't be under your forever, etc.
That's very
macabre.
Creepy. Very good.
And there's a song by, it's an old country and western song, I'm a nan at it, but by Jim Reeves, called Old Tige, about a guy who comes back from the army, and he's got a faithful dog, and the dog's there to meet him at the bus stop, and he lives on top of a cliff somewhere, so the dog sees him across in a foggy night across top of the cliff. Disappears into the fog when he gets home, and he says to his mum, "Oh, old Tige, you know, help me get home." And they said, "Oh, old Tige, he died 3 years ago."
Yeah. No. Do you remember? This is slight tangent. This isn't. Do you remember the song about the trucker? You remember there's a lot of songs about Jesus in the '70s. Like it was like an American sort of country Jesus revival, and there was also a lot of songs about CBs, right? Do you remember Teddy Bear?
Oh yeah.
Do you remember that, Catherine?
Yeah. Isn't that one of those creepy ones like Andy?
Yeah, and he's talking, he's a CB man, and he's talking to like a little...
Is there a kid's voice
little,
in it?
Little disabled kiddie in a... Hang on, let's find...
Here we go.
This was on the radio all the time in the 70s.
I was on the outskirts of a little southern town, trying to reach my destination before the sun went down. The old CB was blaring away on.
Oh, he ends up talking to a disabled kid. I mean, that was entertainment.
But is the kid?
I don't think the kid's dead. I don't think the kid's a ghost. I think he's unable to walk.
Oh man.
I think so.
Of course, Kath mentioned earlier the Camouflage by Stan Ridgway, which is a classic Vietnam song about a soldier who's. I never want to know what you sung at that point. About some soldiers were stuck in a mirage, it sounds like. But
I thought they were. I thought it was a mirage, isn't it?
A mirage.
Yeah, they're like an optical... I can't read. Let me get the lyrics. Can we? Hang on a second, guys.
I thought he was stuck in a trench and then this big soldier had come and, like, given him a body barrier. Is that what they call it?
A body barrier?
You know, protected him with his great big hulking form.
I was a PC on a search patrol hunting Charlie down. It was in the Jungle Wars of 65. My weapons jammed and I got stuck way out in all... let's get to the chorus. Hang on a second. If Charlie wants a tangle, now they'll have to dodge. I said, well, thanks a lot. I told him my name and asked him his, and he said, the boys just call me Camouflage. Camouflage. Can't remember the tune.
Whoa, Camouflage. With that.
Things are never quite the way they seem. Whoa, Camouflage. I was awfully glad to see this big marine.
Doesn't mention anything about Mirage, mate. You took in rubbish.
It's at the end of it, yeah.
Okay, at the end. All right, fine.
And he wanted to help some...
Oh, well, hang on, there's the word barrage, so I wonder if there's anything that...
Maybe it was barrage, then.
Barrage. But before he went, he said Semper Fi. Semper Fi.
Always. Is that short for Semper Fidelis?
So it was to save a young Marine caught in a barrage.
A barrage.
There we go. It's a barrage. Nigel Barrage.
Semper Fi.
And other political parties are available. Dave, was there anything else?
No, I think that's it.
The hell off my radio show, you hairy piece of trash!
Semper Fi is short for Semper Fidelis, which means always faithful.
Semper Fi, I got Semper Fi for you. 0344 499 1000. And that's the phone number. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Good evening, Carl.
Hello.
Carl, I'm wondering, wouldn't it be something if today was the anniversary of the death of Carl Wilson of the Beach Boys? I got a feeling that it's the 6th of February. Okay. Carl, what can we do for you this evening?
Oh, it's Tokyo, and I'm back to tell you the story.
Oh, Carl's Tokyo Adventures! I do remember. Let me get some Japanesey music.
Yeah, because you rang up to say, what's fun to do in Tokyo? And we went through a load of various things. I want to hear what you actually did.
I didn't do any of them.
You didn't go Super Mario Karting?
No.
Okay.
No. I didn't go out of Tokyo. I stayed in Tokyo.
That's fine. It's fine. Tokyo's a great place, great city in the world. I want to live there one day.
I did go on a train and everywhere.
Tell us what happened.
Where can I start? I went to Akihabara.
That is the gadget district.
Electronic town.
Is it still electronic town? I thought they toned it down a bit.
Yeah, electronic town. Went to a maid cafe.
Yeah, they're weird, the maid. I've been to a maid cafe. It's weird, isn't it? It's not sexy,
No, it's
cafe.
Not weird.
It's not.
No, I say it's weird. It's just something to experience, isn't it?
Yes, I thought it was a bit weird. They're all dressed up as maids.
Yeah.
Did she draw on your omelette with tomato ketchup?
I didn't get any food there, I just got a drink.
Now you've got to get their omelette things.
Yeah, but I've seen people have some weird stuff. Yeah, they do that.
They do that. They draw on your food with tomato ketchup. It's wonderful. They do.
Yeah, I've seen that, yeah. I went up the Sky Tree.
Oh, I see, I've not done that. Was it good? What could you see?
A Kishuza. Eh?
What could you see?
It's massive.
Yeah, yeah.
I started out, I went to the zoo, you know, have you been to the zoo?
I don't like zoos, I'm not a fan of zoos.
UNO Zoo, is it called UNO or something?
Well, I don't care.
It's like a park and a zoo all together.
Okay, I'd call that
and
a poo.
I seen the massive sky tree from there, so I took a bus to there.
And how did you get on with, the buses?
I thought it was brilliant. The underground and that's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's massive, but it's really well.
Did you go to Tokyo Hands, the department store?
Tokyo what, sorry?
There's a department store called Tokyo Hands.
Whereabouts is it?
In Tokyo. I don't know exactly. Did you go to Tower Records?
No.
Did you go to an arcade?
Yes, I did.
There you go.
Which of you are
fun, isn't it? They're all there playing Mario Kart and doing the picture booths.
They're more like the grabby things, aren't they, where you can grab a toy and...
They like a bit of the grabby.
They love that, yeah.
What food
did
you eat?
A few quirks of Tokyo. What were good. They love jazz, don't they, Tokyo?
Unfortunately, yes, they do, yes. That was one of the downsides.
They do love jazz.
Yeah.
And they're very, very, very friendly people. I enjoyed it. I thought it was brilliant.
There are a lot of buskers there, aren't there? A lot of really good buskers. Are you sure you went to Tokyo? Maybe I didn't go to Tokyo. What did you have to eat, Carl?
I just stayed in the hotel, to be honest. Oh. I had a few little bits of meals, but I had one meal where I tried it and I couldn't eat it, so I just didn't, from then on, I didn't like the fact that you serve you something and you can't eat it.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I really enjoyed... going, and this is when I was vegetarian, so it's tricky. Now I'm a meat eater, I want to go back. But just going into these weird little places, a lot of them are up on like the first or second floor. And you go into these places and looking at, I would say I'm a vegetarian, I don't eat meat or fish, and they bring me a menu. Sometimes you just wouldn't recognise, and I go, that, and they bring it. And remember one place we went to, me and my ex went to, and it's this big sort of bowl of soup, and you... sort of cook it in front of you yourself, and you put all the ingredients into that, this bowl of soup. Oh, I loved it, man. Carl,
I did a lot of that.
Did you have a good time?
I absolutely brilliant. I enjoyed it.
And do you feel? And you went on your own, didn't you?
Yeah.
Do you feel that you've achieved something by doing this big trip all on your own?
I have. But every night, I had a Japanese person come over to me and say hello every single night. Yeah. Because they're so nice.
They want to practice their
English. Learn English.
Yeah, they're all keen to practice their English in Tokyo. Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is a really friendly city.
And but next time I go, I got told there's a place called Nikko. Don't even hear of it.
I don't know Nikko.
It's 2 hours on a train, on a normal, not the bullet train, a normal train, but next time I go, I'm going there. It's called Nikko. Have a look at it. It looks beautiful.
I will. I'm going to check it out. I want to go again if I can afford it. If I'm getting a job next year, I'm going to try and afford it.
My friend lives in China. I'm going to China in April.
Mate. Carl's living the dream. Carl, listen, I'm glad you had a great time. Tokyo is my favourite place in the world.
Have you seen The Irishman?
Is he live in Tokyo? Oh, the movie. No. I've not had time to
yet.
It lasts for three days.
Get 3 hours in
film.
Your life and watch it.
Okay, is it good?
It's good, yeah. It's massive film. Three hours. I've just watched it all tonight.
You watched it all tonight? Hang on, why weren't you listening to us?
I mean, I usually do, but tonight I just watched it.
Well, of course, that film stars Al Pacino.
Hoo-ha!
Robert De Niro. And this guy.
Up your big fat ass.
Joe Pesci is in there. Carl, thank you very much indeed. Let's go to Alistair. Good evening, Alistair.
Evening, Catherine and Ian.
I'm jealous of Carl, man.
I was just looking at some pictures of Tokyo Hands, right?
Yes, great shot, man.
Tales of mystery and imagination on the radio show that does things differently.
Dolly Parton, I listen to a record all day long.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I'm a nut job, but not that kind of nut job.
On Talk Radio.
Honest to God, it's the new Breaking Bad.
Oh no!
It's alright, isn't it? So it's El Presidente, El King. And Ronnie Spector of the Ronettes, Be My Baby, and all that. Brilliant singer. We had her on the show, I don't know, maybe 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Who knows?
It was when she brought out the album English Heart, which was kind of, it was a load of songs with like the Kinks and the Beatles and...
She's doing some shows. I mentioned the dates during this, but I'll tweet the link as well. Well worth going. I saw her Christmas show years ago and she's fab. We got the chance to talk to her at 7:10 this evening. We were both very, very excited as you were here this week on.
We played it cool.
We played it very cool. This is me and Gath talking to Ronnie Spector.
Ronnie
Spector! Ronnie, I'm here with my friend Catherine.
Hey, Ronnie.
First of all,
hi, Catherine.
Let's just do this. We love you so much. We think you're fab.
I love you too.
How you doing, Ronnie? What's going on?
I'm doing so great, and I can't wait to get to the UK. I mean, I've never done my Christmas show over there.
Yeah.
I cannot wait.
Now, you're doing some great venues. We're hoping to see you at Hammersmith, and we're gonna read out all the dates a bit later on. I saw your Christmas show about, I don't know, maybe 12, 13 years ago in New York.
And he's been talking about it ever since.
At B.B. King's, me and my then girlfriend were sat right in the front. Man alive,
oh
Ronnie,
my God.
It was such a good show. Is it going to be, for those who haven't seen it, is it going to be kind of a similar sort of vibe? What can people expect?
It'll be the similar, everything is for Christmas. However, I have added, like, videos, I sit down and talk to the audience, and I get up and sing,
yeah.
And there are videos in back of me of the people I'm talking about when I get up and sing. It's so different, but it's so great. I have two Ronettes, and they sing and dance, and it's and amazing. I call it a review.
Cannot wait.
Because it has everything in it, and of course, all the Christmas hits.
Cannot wait. And you say it's the first time you've done it in the UK. I know you have a real soft spot for England.
Oh, I love England. I can't wait to do my Christmas show over there because I've never done my Christmas show over there since, I think, 1988 or something.
Right.
Really, yeah, a long time ago.
But
so
you have
really is my.
You have a big history with the UK, of course, because you were hanging out with the Beatles. you were having records produced with George Harrison and all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
So yes. What are your memories of the Beatles?
Oh, I tell you, the first time we met them, because they had never been to America yet.
Right.
So when we went to the UK, the Ronettes, they came to our Decca record party the first night we were there.
Yeah.
The Beatles. And it was so great. I mean, they were, especially John Lennon with me. He was such a gentleman. You know, he was my tour guide. He'd take me out on Carnaby Street and show me what the boots and the latest styles. And we had the best time. And you know, the Rolling Stones were our opening act.
I know, that's incredible. That's not a bad opening act, is it? The Stones.
No, the Stones were—they were so great, but they were opening for us. You know what it was so great about it, though. We before all the British invasion, we had the Kinks on this show, the Yardbirds,
wow.
You know, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones. We knew everybody over there.
Yeah.
So I grew very fond of the UK. You know, I would go over there to visit my fans over there and not do a show just to be over in the UK. Having fun.
Can you believe I don't want to age us all, but well over 50 years later, you're coming back. The shows are selling really well. You're playing Hammersmith Odeon, which is one of the most famous venues here. I think it's called the Apollo now. It keeps changing its name.
Yes.
Can you believe that 50 odd years later, you're still selling out big venues around the world?
I cannot believe it. To tell you the truth, if somebody had said, Ronnie, in 50 years, Sleigh Ride is going to be on the top 40 this year.
Mm.
You know, my Sleigh Ride record, my Christmas song.
Yeah.
I would have said, are you crazy? And here it is. I'm you know, filling all these halls. And I'm just amazed at my career that it has taken off like this. You know, it's been, let's say, the last 10 years.
Yeah.
It's been, Ronnie, this, where are you going? And I've done everything, and I've loved everything I've done. I just love the business so much, and I love singing. That's my whole thing, and performing for the audience is my, oh, that's my real love. You know, I could just hug the whole audience, you know, at the end. I could just, I love them.
Ronnie, you're such an inspiration. I received from a good friend of mine, Ian Lee, one Christmas, your book, Be My Baby. And mm-hmm. having read it, it's like, my God, you had to really battle. You're a real survivor, and you still love music. there must have been times
where
you thought you'd never get here.
Yeah, but writing my book gave me I got rid of all that suffering and the pain I went through out in California and not being able to do shows and not being able to sing. That's why the Beatles meant so much to me, because they said, you've got to put it on Apple Records.
Mm.
You know, and they did, but I didn't think it was going to be a hit because I knew my ex was involved with it, so I just love the Beatles because they tried to help me, and they named me Ronnie Spector because I did two records and it was under the name of Veronica.
Oh, really?
And when I got over, when I got over to Apple Records, you know, in the studio, they said, oh, this is horrible. Veronica is like not rock and roll. So the Beatles, John, and all those guys said, we wanted to be called Ronnie. Wow. Ronnie Spector. Spector was like, you know, I said, okay.
Does anyone call you Veronica now? Is it just if you're in trouble, Veronica?
No. But that was my name in California.
Yeah.
It was always just like you said, Veronica.
Yeah. While we were waiting to speak to you, we were listening to the new song,
oh,
Under the
so
Mistletoe.
Good.
It's great, man. What are you like gargling? I don't know, like baby's blood or something. you're doing some kind of voodoo because your voice is still incredible, Ronnie. It sounds amazing.
Oh, thank you.
How do you look after it?
I don't. My voice.
Yeah, honestly, it's so strong.
To be honest with you, Ian, I don't go to clubs. I don't party. You know, I have kids. So I love my Connecticut. I live in Connecticut.
Yeah.
I live in New York with the angle bangles and the buses and the trucks. You know, so I just live a much better life now. And I love doing my shows. My kids are old enough that I don't feel guilty that I'm going out to work. You know, so it's so good now. I never thought in 100 years that I would be talking to you guys. You know, in the UK,
yeah.
50 years later, and I'm just so in awe of like people. Liking me is amazing.
Well, you're one of the first female rock stars, you know, and now it's still a very male dominated business, but you were a pioneer.
Thank you. I did start a lot of things, you know, with the girl groups and Amy Winehouse's. She couldn't get enough of me, you know, so I love the fact that Amy Winehouse reminded me that what I did mattered. You know what I mean? The hairstyle, the outfits. And that made me so proud. And then she passed. I was devastated. So I sang Back to Black.
I was going to say, you recorded Back to Black, didn't you? Did you ever get to meet her?
I did. I met her at like a club. And she was with this tall, tall guy. And I remember her peeking out, looking at me. It was called the Jazz Club. Over in England.
Yeah.
In a huge place. And everybody's standing up because it's rock and roll, you know. And it was jam-packed. And I see her looking at me. And then I see her crying.
Wow.
And then she was gone. And that blew my mind.
And it is...
Because...
Go on. Sorry, Ronnie. I interrupted. Go on.
You know, it just... It blew my mind when she died. Because I thought, here I am. In my late 70s, and she's young, and she's like reminding me that what I did mattered. Now she's gone, I have a video of her in my show and everything. And I don't want to give the whole show away, but she's also in my video.
Oh, that's beautiful.
On my show.
That's
and she's
beautiful.
Talking about the Ronettes.
You mentioned.
So it's like a base.
You mentioned you're in your 70s now, and you're still doing it, and you're still turning it out. I mean, are you going to be wearing the Santa costume just like you did?
The sexy Santa outfit.
Talking about the sexy Santa
outfit. I saw at BB King's, Ronnie. My God.
I know. I can't help. Everybody says Ronnie is so sexy. I don't try to be anything. I just try to. The audience and the guys.
I don't want to bring it down to looks, but you've still got those legs, Ronnie. You've still got those great legs.
I do. I still have my long legs. You know, I still have very nice shape, and I still have pretty good guys.
I bet you do. We saw Cher in concert, didn't we, last
week? Gosh, yeah.
And I picked up your book just to refamiliarize myself with it, and I realized that you kind of know each other, that she wrote the foreword for it, and you two are both still out there. And still turning it out for the audiences.
Oh, Cher or me?
Both of you.
Oh, well, you know what the problem was? Cher and Tina Turner, the thing that they had that I didn't have is once they got divorced, they could continue performing, you know, doing their shows and stuff. That's the only thing I couldn't do when I was married.
Yeah.
I couldn't just go out and sing and do stuff like that. So I always admired Cher, kept going. And Tina Turner, both of them, I admire them very much.
And of course, Cher
kept the door open for me.
Yeah, but Cher and Sonny were kind of part of that wall of sound, Phil Spector kind of thing. Cher was a backing singer, wasn't she, for some of those early records?
She sang on Be My Baby, one of my songs, actually. You know, at that time, her and Sonny were working for Phil. So to get money to buy food and stuff, they would stay in the studio. And then Cher was the only girl.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
And then the harp comes in, I mean, come on. 0344 499 1000. How could you not like Barry Manilow? I mean, it's just that there's something about this. I wonder if anyone's written a book on this. Here we go, music historians. There's something about that sort of Jewish soul music. I'm talking Neil Diamond, Barry Manilow, Barbara Streisand. They're all very similar. And I wonder if there is something about their Jewishness that helps them be... I don't know. I wonder if there's something in their upbringing that gives them the confidence or the voice or something about that kind of white... slick soul music. Someone write a book about that. It's like Tim Heidecker is always saying, the comedian is always saying he wants to read a book where it's like Pete Townsend and Ray Davis and all those people who were born just sort of halfway through World War II or just after. And he wants to hear them interviewed about what growing up in post-war Britain did for them. Obviously influenced a lot of their music. Tommy is influenced by it, lots of stuff like that. And what that impact it has, because I've never read that. I've never read what growing up in bombed London, as a lot of them were, bombed Manchester, bombed Liverpool, what impact that had on their growing up and their music. And the same with Streisand, with Diamond, and with Manilow.
Sedaka.
And I think Streisand, Sedaka and Diamond went to the same school.
Brooklyn, was it?
I think so. I don't think Manilow did. I can't remember where he... Well, he grew up in New York. He would have been a little bit younger than them. Did the three of them go to the same school?
Looks like it.
I wonder... I mean, I wonder if it's their Jewishness. I wonder if... obviously a lot of talented musicians came from Brooklyn, from that... kind of era. I wonder, maybe.
There's like the whole comedy thing as well, the New York Jewish comedy.
Yeah.
Not school, but there's a family of comedians, right?
Of course there is.
And there is a certain style.
Of course there is. I wonder if there's something in there. Someone go and write a book about it, because that is a book that I would read. I would hoover that book up. 0344 499 1000 is the phone number. Busy switchboard tonight. I've been on hold for 10 minutes, says Tony.
To who? Because...
You're not on my switchboard, Tony, so you're either texting the wrong station or phoning the wrong station.
Or the phone's up this morning again.
No, they're not. We're getting phone calls. We're getting phone calls.
Okay, Tony, I'm going to suggest you probably ring in...
Let me try. Talk sport. Let me try. Hang on. 0344 499 1000. There is nothing wrong with the phones tonight. Let's see. Thanks for calling Talk Radio.
Your call will be answered.
A succulent Chinese meal. There we go. My phone's ringing. So that's absolute bullshine. Let's go to Nick. Good evening, Nick.
Well, hiya. I'm just looking under the TV. I was trying to find the ball. I'm playing with my cat. Actually, I'll tell you the reason why I rang.
Tell me.
Because last week... I was trying to ring, I'm assuming you must be Ian, because you said you want to speak to Ian, so I guess that must be you.
This bodes well.
I meant to last week, so I couldn't sleep, as usual. Listen to Talk Sport with Jason Cundy and...
those idiots. With Knucklehead and Thicko, yes.
Instead of, well, you say that.
I say it. I mean it. I've met them. Idiots.
Well, I don't like Goldsby, but anyway.
That's Knucklehead.
I meant to... Cundy's alright, but he's a Chelsea supporter. But anyway.
Oh, no! And Carole King! Carole King, thank you, Mr. Linton. Sorry, carry on, Nick.
Who the hell is Carole King?
Who the hell is Carole King? She only had the greatest selling album of the 70s, Crochet.
Well, in the 70s, I was listening to Bowie... Dylan.
Oh God, I'm so cool. I'm listening to David Bowie. I don't know if he's a man or a woman or who he's going to be next week. And Bob Dylan's output in the 70s is crap.
I was ringing up just for one question, really, and I was just wondering.
Oh God.
Anyway.
I want to die.
As I said, I meant to ring up Talk Sport.
Okay, you fooled us tonight, Nick. What would you like to ask?
Well, Well, instead of listening to Talk Sport, I listened to you, instead of listening to the football, I was listening to How to Get Drunk Quickly by shoving your arse.
A vodka lolly up your arsehole because the skin is thinner. Yes, I hope you tried it in the weekend and had a great time.
I didn't try that, no.
Coward.
And then I heard some woman going on about ex-hamster and nose porn.
Yeah, that was Catherine.
And then
I'm some woman.
Then some crazy...
Okay, Nick, you're recapping last week's show. What would you like to contribute to tonight's show?
The question is, what kind of show am I listening to? That's the question.
Jesus. A show where absolute sickos...
This is the second time I've listened to your show.
You're addicted.
But I've only been listening to...
You're addicted. It's a show where weak-minded addicts phone up every single night.
Huh?
Sorry, did you say it was a great show?
It's a crazy show.
Thank you.
It's a show where we get the best callers. We get the best and the finest callers, Nick. We only get the creme de la creme, la cream of la cropsa.
Well, I'm not quite sure.
I want to make love to you, Nick.
When I listened to that show.
I want to make love to you, Nick.
There was a crazy.
Crazy nights.
Crazy Gascoigne person who sounded like he was totally off his head.
Yeah.
Then there was a woman who said she was going to kill herself.
Yep.
And he said, ring the Samaritans and ring back the next day. And I didn't bother to listen because
Nick!
I was listening to Janice Long on...
You're what we call a late-night radio slut. You sleep around the dial, don't
and
you,
And I think I need to...
see your doctor.
Text the girl's name or Google that girl's name. Because she sounds quite sexy, so... I've got a mental image of what she sort of...
What do you think the girl looks like?
Well, she's got a kind of a northern accent, which is quite a bit of a turn-on, really.
Oh, really? You like the northern lasses?
Yeah.
Mm.
Back in the day when we used to go up to Nottingham and try and get laid, but we never did.
Oh, yeah, get a nice little bit of Nottingham, Fanny.
Wonder what went wrong.
Yeah, and then when she was talking about ex-hamster and nose porn, it just kind of aroused me even more.
Yeah, okay.
Filthy animal, isn't she?
So,
what is her name, or what is your... You must be Ian, because he said, you want to talk to Ian? And I said, yeah, well, I might as well, I've got nothing else.
Might as well, got nothing else to do! Candy and Goldstein are scum!
I can see why you got fired from the BBC and...
No, you can't. Why did I get fired from the BBC, Nick?
I have no idea. You mentioned it earlier on.
Yeah, why did I get fired from the BBC, Nick? I'll tell you why. Because I stood up for my gay brothers and sisters against homophobic bigotry. That's why I got fired, Nick. I got fired because the BBC couldn't handle me.
Well,
the BBC, the Tory stroke Labour spin machine couldn't handle me.
I'm a member of the Conservative Party. I pay £209 a month.
Well, you're an idiot! And we can't really talk about that. Anyway, Nick, I'm glad you found the show and I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Well, when did I say I never mentioned in the... Yeah, you made me wait for a good 10 minutes. I haven't been on for 12 minutes and 51 seconds. Anyway,
spot on.
He takes very detailed notes. I like that.
Spot on.
I never once in the time I've enjoyed it. I just said it was a crazy show.
Yeah.
You love it, Nick. You keep listening to it and you keep calling it. You love it.
I've called once, and this is the second show I've listened to.
Yeah, you're addicted.
No, normal people don't ring.
You're hooked.
Well, I must admit, I did turn on Sunday night to see if your kids were on, but you weren't.
Your kids. Oh, it's like being a Scooby-Doo.
I've been called that girl and those kids.
Nick, I'm glad you're enjoying the show. I'm glad it's become your favourite radio show. I look forward to your next call.
I prefer listening to Ken Bruce, actually. And,
yeah, well, Ken Bruce is on. I don't know if you noticed. He's on 10 to 1 in the morning. He's not on now.
No, he's not on 10 to 1. He's on...
Who cares what time Ken Bruce is on, Potmaster Bum?
He's not his notes. 9:30 to 12.
You Potmaster Bumlick!
Yeah.
Who does a show that's got a half an hour in it?
I do watch, I do listen to Potmaster.
Uh-huh, you said watch, and it's the radio.
Yes, I know.
Nick, this is your new favourite show. Just admit it, you're addicted to it, you love it, you can't get enough, and we'll take another one of your dull calls soon.
Alright, what's that last his name? I'll Google it.
Karen King.
Oh, Karen King.
Thank you very much indeed. He's going to Google that lass.
He'll be Googling it till he can't see anymore.
He's going to Google that lass!
I'm trying to do it, I'm doing it.
Here we go. Here comes Lavinia. Here comes Lavinia. She's gone off the boil. She was fun when she had it up the bum with a man from another planet. But now she's talking bollocks. She wants to bring back hanging. I wish she'd tell us about the time she took it up the wrong and from a man from Mars.
He's saying, I love you, baby. I really, 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 really love you.
What can we do for you, Lavinia, you old right-wing bigot?
Thank you. What I'd like to say is that I've been hearing your voice, this is about half an hour ago, because I've just woken up, yeah?
Yeah, man.
And what's happened? I've been in a deep, deep sleep. Listen to this, right?
Oh, yeah, go on.
And I heard your sexy voice in the background. I thought, oh, my God, that's Ian. Oh!
Yeah.
So I thought, right, I've got to say something to him. Because he's been on my mind for the last couple of days, Ian, yeah? One is that I think, you must know this. We all know this. This is a mad, mad, mad well. And to understand this mad, mad world, we have to be mad ourselves. Does that make sense?
No, sounds like nonsense. Sounds like cliché nonsense. Next.
Right. And also, I actually come across a children's book. This is facts. And it was called Little Miss Naughty, yeah? And I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to read it. Because I don't know what made me want to read it. I wanted to read it,
yeah.
And it happened to be a children's book.
Yeah.
Guess what? I actually turned over the page, and apparently they were talking about Mr. Men. Mr. Guess who? Mr. Uppity. Can you believe it?
Yeah, I can, because everyone knows about Mr. Uppity.
Well, I didn't, so well, that's what I did. And I thought, oh, my God, I've got to tell Ian. There is a Mr. Uppity.
Yeah, I know. I know there's a Mr. Uppity. I know every. You can't educate me. I'm a wise soul. I've been around many, many times.
Well, I didn't even know that.
Yes.
I didn't know there was a Mr. Uppity.
I absorb informazioni like nobody's business.
Well, I can believe that, Ian. I really can. And also, I would also like to say that I love your I love your show.
Yeah?
I love your show.
Okay.
It is a tonic, actually.
Yeah.
It revitalises you in the evening. And especially waking up. And I heard your sexy, unbelievable, outrageous...
I'm a human being! I got feelings! I'm not just a lump of wood that you can ride! I'm a human being! How dare you treat me like your dildo?
Oh, my God.
How dare you, Lavinia?
This is what I do to you, Ian.
How dare you just use me, then wipe me down and put me in your drawer. I'm more than that. I want to go to nice restaurants. I want to see plays. I want to stroke a cat. I want to walk in the park and hold your hand. I don't want to get put in that drawer.
Well, can I just say something, Ian? All I'm going to do, I want to sing something how I feel from the bottom of my heart.
Here we go.
The power of love, a force from above, beam in my soul.
So a force from above, yeah.
Did
came
you
down,
say creaming my soul?
I wouldn't like to analyse those lyrics any further. This is Tour Radio.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
So that got us thinking. And yes, you can buy talking dildos. There's one on Amazon.
The speaker at the bottom, so to speak.
Bad vibes loose.
What?
This real 7-inch talking vibrator comes complete with a real man's voice, which says at random one of the 4 pre-programmed phrases.
Just like a real man.
Watch out, because of the 4 hilarious phrases, only one is nice. Sayings are, go away, I've got a headache. you're looking cute tonight, honey. Sorry, I have to get up early tomorrow. And please don't send me back to the dark place. I made that last night. The last one is hell, can't you get a real man? This girl's gag will shock the recipient as well as give her a buzz. It's got one review, 5 stars. Made the ideal joke birthday present. If you go to Pornhub, there's a talking dildo. YouTube, there's a talking dildo. YouTube, YouPorn, there's one. What's this? No, it doesn't talk.
That's okay. A good idea for our next bit of merch.
There is. There we go. What have you got for us, Catherine?
Oh, right. Okay, let's have a look. Do you want one about someone leaving a review and getting sworn at? Do you want one about the Queen?
Oh, update. How is she doing?
She's, well, it's all very quiet, but so no news is good.
So, by the way, because if you were on Twitter last night, did it get outside of Twitter? The have you got the story?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Do the story, because I find these death hoaxes fascinating. Remember when Paul Weller died in a mini crash?
Yeah.
That was like 20 years ago. Paul Weller died.
Jimmy, that was pre-Twitter, wasn't
Jimmy
it?
Jimmy Somerville died. Obviously, these people didn't die. These are hoaxes. I remember Jimmy Somerville died, and then my friend saw him that night that rumour was going around. Are these things I find...
The Peter Kay one keeps happening.
Peter Kay keeps happening, doesn't it? In fact, I think I can say this. There is an obit here, Red. Wasn't someone asked to put together an obit for Peter Kay here?
Probably.
I'm sure there was. So there's certainly an email going around about it. So the Queen... supposedly died last night. You're not going to read the rude tweets, are you?
I'll read what I've got.
Okay, where you go?
This is according to the Mirror. Vile rumours about the Queen dying have been circulating on social media after a fake WhatsApp message caused panic among royal fans.
Is it really vile? I mean,
it's not very nice, is it?
It's not a very nice joke, but...
Some of the jokes were quite vile.
I'm going to be honest... When I heard it, first thing is you go online and look, see if it's
check,
true.
Yeah.
And then, when I get in trouble, I kind of chuckled.
Well, because you saw it for what it was, straight away.
Another one of those going round.
Screen grabs of a message claiming to give details of instructions sent to guards were posted online over the weekend. While the palace hasn't officially commented, a number of royal experts and insiders have said the rumours are completely untrue. However, many people have fallen for the cruel prank and have been very worried about the monarch. The ones I read weren't worried. The first message forwarded by someone with the nickname Gibbo, a trusted source.
Gibbo!
reads, Queen's passed away this morning, heart attack being announced at 9:30 a.m. tomorrow. Channel dash 0800 tomorrow in full number ones. So that's what uniform you got to wear.
Right.
Number ones. In your black bag kit, you need 1 set of 3s, 1 set of 4s, underwear and socks for 2 weeks, washing kit, body washing kit, city's fawn stand down from a guard's reg WhatsApp group. However, his friends weren't convinced, with one replying, your balls, has to be a wind-up. Gibbo replies, not sure, mate, just got it passed to me, or paced to me. They did keep the Queen Mother's death quiet, though, for 24 hours. We last saw the Queen out and about on royal duties last week, says the Mirror, when she officially opened the new headquarters of the Royal Philatelic Society in London. On Friday, she shared a message following the terror attacks on London Bridge, which claimed the lives of 2 innocent people. And tomorrow she'll be joined by other members of the royal family to host a NATO event at Buckingham Palace. The event will celebrate 70 years of the NATO alliance and will be attended by a number of world leaders. Royal Central Editor Charlie Proctor took to Twitter to rubbish the rumours, writing, I see we have reached that time of year where I have to dispel rumours of Her Majesty's passing. The Queen is not dead. She's alive and well and very much looking forward to hosting President Trump and other world leaders at Buckingham Palace on Tuesday for the NATO reception. Here's the thing that surprises me, that Trump didn't retweet it.
Yeah.
You know what he's like.
Yeah, exactly what he's like, yeah.
When the Queen does die, the first we will hear will be an official announcement from Buckingham Palace. If she dies during the night, her death will not be reported until 8 a.m, at which time her portrait will be displayed on the BBC, accompanied by the national anthem, as happened following the death of Princess Diana in 1997. The BBC will suspend all programming and screen BBC One coverage of the event. While other channels are not required to interrupt regular scheduling, it's likely they'll follow a similar plan.
Oh, God, you know it's going to be...
Here's the other thing. No comedy programming for 12 days.
No.
Mm-hmm, on the BBC.
You are kidding me. I did think, here's my thinking, if the Queen's dead, we're probably going to get a few nights off work. That was my thought. No comedy programmes on the BBC?
An official 12-day period of national mourning.
They should just show for like every night between 7 and 10 that episode of Fools and Horses where Del Boy falls through the bar. Because she'd have loved that. That's what she would have wanted. No comedy shows for 12 days?
No.
Oh, my God, the arrogance of these people. The arrogance of these people.
The time after Diana died was weird enough. This is going to be, it sounds like this is going to be even more weird.
Well, this would be the last one that would be this big, surely. No, we're not going to get the same reaction. Here's the thing. It's that thing. We've kind of been kicking this idea around recently, and we kind of ran into it ourselves on Friday, of who says what is news, right? And this feels like a very, very old-fashioned... There'll be some people getting angry at this. This feels like a very, very old-fashioned overreaction to something that to some people is hugely significant, but to the majority of people is not important. I mean, when the Queen goes, I'll be a bit sad because I don't like things changing, and I like tradition, and I'm not really a royalist, but I quite like her, and I'll be a bit sad. But 12 days of mourning is ridiculous. I don't really remember the Diana stuff. I remember her dying because I was in Edinburgh, and it was our last night in Edinburgh. And I remember going round to a friend's to watch the funeral, and we just got stoned and watched it. And I remember going to Buckingham Palace was the day the Queen came back, because I had to go to Petit France to get a passport, and I had to wait for a few hours. I thought, I'll go and stand it. It's the only time I've seen the Queen. But that was weird. I mean, that was weird.
I found it really strange. I remember sitting in Burger King, and that Elton John song came on, and the woman at the table next to me, I'm not joking, was crying.
Yeah.
It was all that. There was an awful lot of people... I feel like people poured a lot of their own stuff into it. And
It
was all kind of, I'm more upset than you are for some people.
Yeah.
And then I went to live in Paris not long after. And
scene of the murder.
Yeah, and when I first arrived, I was part of my route to university took me sort of past Pont de l'Alma, where she died, the underpass where she died. And there's an eternal flame to the heroes of the resistance. And it had been like plastered in pictures of her and those flowers.
Guilty
and
conscience.
I just found it.
There
were
ridiculous.
People filming the underpass. Here that was go. The thing. That was this was before camera phones.
Yeah.
There were people filming the underpass, and I found that so mawkish.
Here's the thing. I'm a sensible human being. I found the whole reaction to Princess Diana utterly over the top. And also, every news outlet, every radio station was afraid to blink. Everyone was afraid to blink and go back to normal.
Yeah.
Until someone else had done it and gone back to normal, in case they were called out for being insensitive. And it went on for months.
I thought it was a really sad thing that happened, really sad. And I felt so sorry for the princes. But I felt more sorry for them having to be kind of paraded amongst people.
Oh, that was
obscene. Who wanted to sort of hug them and tell them how much their mother had meant. You know, people that didn't know her. I felt so sorry for those kids.
Oh, that was obscene. Making them walk in the funeral procession. That was obscene. That is the royal family for you. Making them abusing those boys like that. But if the Queen dies, I mean, honestly, I would be more upset when Davy Jones of the Monkees died. Mm. You know, it's going to be awful. It is going to be awful. I mean, here's a question, dear listener. Would you care? Would you, Jamie says, I was doing pills around a friend's house that night that Diana died. Very weird, but good times. Jamie, I was on a pill when I found out that Diana had died. I was coming down from a pill, found out, and then I snogged a girl in a park at 3 o'clock in the morning, or whenever it was, 6 o'clock in the morning. I was there. I mean, would anyone, there'll be some people who will, here's the thing, and I'm not saying this to be controversial. Here's the thing. I'm also feeling I've got to tread very carefully, because someone will draw offence at this and will make a complaint. And complaints around this kind of conversation are taken more seriously than perhaps other conversations about other people would be. But there will be people who will celebrate her death. There will be people who will go out, thank God she's gone. You know, the lizard is gone. In the same way that Margaret Thatcher was celebrated. Maybe not in quite the same way, but there will be people that will see it as the end of some thing that is patently unfair and patently ridiculous, that they've got all this money and wealth and power in inverted commas, just because of their lineage.
But the flip side of that is that her life has been spent in the spotlight, and it's not a natural way for anyone to live, is it? I wouldn't want to swap with her.
For the moment last night, when I thought, for the brief moment when I thought the Queen was dead, it was like, oh, that's interesting. That was it. Mm. Oh, that's interesting. Nothing more. Nothing more than that. Nothing more than that. And it will be a, it, the national grieving that will be enforced upon us will be obscene. It will be obscene. It's slightly different in that she has, you know, been a huge figure for decades and decades and decades, right? And the stuff she's done and the places she's been and all of that. But it's still, we're still mourning the death of someone who's really rich.
Mm.
That's almost kind of it, is we're mourning someone who's richer than you are. Okay. Okay. I don't really know. I don't, it doesn't move me that much, really.
Hmm, okay.
This is what I'm just thinking out loud. I'm trying to kick this around.
No,
you disagree slightly.
I know what you mean. I don't really see it. The way I see it is the country will be mourning the end of an era.
Yeah.
Something, someone we've all, most of us have grown up around.
Yeah.
And kind of the first big star, really, someone who was beyond stardom.
Yeah.
Famous, one of the most famous women in the world. Someone who's grown up in the spotlight.
Yeah.
Who's not always found it easy.
I don't care. I don't know, and I don't care. I
find that interesting. I think find it interesting as an institution as to what happens afterwards. And such an unnatural way for someone to live.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
After midnight, we're playing Revolution No. 9 by the Beatles in its entirety with some extra stuff thrown in over the top. 03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Yes, Jerry. Right, Jerry. Right, there's literally no chance we're going to hear that.
Yes.
Oh, me, oh, my, I love me some country pie. Oh, it's the first syllable, isn't it? I thought, right, okay, it makes sense now. Yes, Jerry.
Uh-oh,
he's having some sort of procedure.
Jerry's being murdered. He's dialed, pocket dialed his wife, he's being murdered. We are the witnesses to the murder. Hello?
You're on, Jerry. Taking your meds.
Okay, we'll come to you in a minute. We'll come to you in a minute. Sounds like they're going up the wrong one. Good evening. Speaking of which, good evening, Alistair.
Evening, guys.
Evening, Alistair. Big A, Big Al. It's the Alistair.
Lovely to speak to you again.
I've got
a couple of things.
Yes.
The first is a recommendation for a film which has been out a while, so you may have seen it.
Yes.
But this is...
Is it called Shawshank Redemption?
No.
Don't talk to him about films about being in prison. No. He's just dodged that bullet.
It's about getting out.
Oh, I see.
I didn't mean it like that. I was just reaching for a film everyone's already seen, but as we were, yes. Go on.
I've been down in the sewer. Yes, I have. Right.
Yes.
This is specifically for Catherine.
Oh, jeez. Right, suddenly it's the Catherine Boyle show. Jeez.
Well,
that's
good.
I mean, you might like it, Ian, but I'm not sure it's your...
Bad. Just tell us the film!
Can You Ever Forgive Me?
I can do, yes, but can you just tell us the film first?
Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Alistair, I've forgiven you, mate. We've done that. We've gone beyond that. But can you just tell us the film, please?
No, the name of the film is...
Oh, I'm so sorry. I do apologise.
Yeah.
Catherine, you seen it?
No. I've seen it on Sky Plus. It's been a suggestion.
Yeah.
And I've not fancied it. But go on. Whet my whistle.
Well, it's about this true story of this author in America who had written a...
Hang on a minute. Stop for a second. Time out.
Yeah.
Where did you see this film, Alistair?
I watched it on Amazon Prime, which I...
Okay.
To.
Oh, hang on a minute. Okay, right. Hang on a second. Right. Okay, fine. And now it's time for our obscure films on Netflix.
Correspondent.
And Amazon update with... I say his name?
Alistair. Alistair.
Oh, yeah. Let's squeeze this into this as we can.
You'll go.
Yeah. So,
stars Melissa McCarthy and Richard E. Grant, who do great acting in this.
Do they do great acting?
Great acting.
I love it when they do great acting.
They do this this author who falls on hard times and starts to forge letters from famous authors. And what happens, and, you know. I don't want to say too much, because I know you don't like spoilers.
Has it got any rude bits in it?
Not really, no.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, it's a good character study, Catherine, which I know would appeal to you.
Okay.
Did you say they do good acting in it?
They do good acting, yeah.
Yes,
I'm in it, but I'm watching it, buddy. I'm watching it. I'm watching the movie.
The second thing is,
yes,
sir. I was watching. Sorry, I wasn't watching. I was listening to a random playlist on my computer this afternoon, and it was classic 80s tracks.
Yeah, man.
And one of the tracks, well, actually, I think it was from 75, but the Aerosmith with DMC, Walk This Way, came on, and you know, you listen to some songs, you don't really know what the lyrics are.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I actually looked him up, and I thought, this song is absolutely disgraceful.
Cat Scratch Fever?
That sort of thing, I think.
Do you know Cat Scratch Fever, Kath?
No, I'm not aware of that.
It's a great song by a right-wing extremist in America called Ted Nugent.
It talks about targeting schoolgirls. Now, I think it gets away with it a little bit. Because
oh, my God! I've just read the second verse.
Oh, no.
Yes, exactly.
Go on. What is this?
I met a cheerleader.
No.
Was a real young bleeder.
Oh.
Steven Tyler.
I can't
believe it, man.
Yeah.
All the times I can reminisce are the best thing loving with a sister and her cousin started with a little kiss.
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dirty Get.
We can play a bit of it now. Here we go. This is... sorry, that was Cat Scratch Fever by Ted Nugent. I apologize. Alistair, thank you for those recommendations. let's go to...
I'm reading the rest of those lyrics.
Hey, yes. Evening, Jerry!
Hello.
Hello, Jerry. Hello. What have you got for us?
My team members. I've been dashed on the bottom.
He's hung up. Can we try and get Jerry back, please? Let's go to proud father. Let's have a little look. Here we go. This I don't know this song, but this song's called "Make Daddy Proud."
Aww.
And this is I dedicate this to. David Dadcock. David Dadcock's phoning in later on. I do apologise. I was looking at the wrong screen. It's Chuck Winkle we've got on the line.
Oh.
Right, David's coming up in a few minutes. We'll go to Chuck first. Good evening, Chuck Winkle.
Wow, that was nearly embarrassing, wasn't it?
It was not the most embarrassing thing that's happened at this radio station today, Chuck. do you have any kids, Chuck?
I got a beautiful kid, and you gotta say with kids, you gotta say, Nanette, Dad loves you.
Is that all you say to kids, or do you say anything else to them?
Do you say it in the morning?
When you're putting them in bed, but I gotta say, little Alfred, Jonathan, and Missy. Well,
Missy Winkle.
Missy Winkle.
Oh, Mummy, Missy Winkle. No, there it is, darling, there it is. Oh, thank you, Mummy.
Right. You missed the...
Right.
Alfred Winkle, Missy Winkle...
And Johnny Winkle.
And Johnny Winkle.
No, Richard.
Dick Winkle. Dick in this country, Chuck, means Winkle. And Winkle means penis.
Right. You British humour flying right over me.
I'm so sorry. Chuck, I'm hoping you've called in to give us an update on the impeachment process that's happening to your president over there, despite the fact he's over here at the moment.
Well, it's a main news story, and I gotta say, it's all over papers over here. And I gotta say, it's over papers over there, too, yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. Thank you.
Great update. Thank you so much for that.
That's it.
Well, I don't know, what was there anything else you wanted to say?
Yeah, the fact that everyone's saying impeachment, surely it should be in tangerine-ment.
Okay. Because
of his colour.
He's orange, yeah.
God bless.
Night-night.
Okay, we're going to go now. Now we're going to go over to the baby daddy, David Babcock. Hey, David!
This baby.
Hang on. This track is by Black Bear. And it's called Make Daddy. What is it with you? Make Daddy
you
proud.
You never sleep alone, girl. You won't listen to me. Won't listen to your own girls. You don't need a man. You say that shit, but
Okay, Black Bear.
Well,
that is not. That is an inappropriate lullaby for the Weans. That is an inappropriate lullaby, David. And I hope that your son and I know what
Babycock is called.
Yeah, I know what baby Babycock is called.
Go on.
This is a lovely tribute, I think, to one of David's great inspirations. Baby's called a Cora.
Wow.
A Cora Babcock. And I think that is absolutely lovely.
On what planet, even if a woman would let me near a chuff, on what planet?
If you keep sweet talking like that, I can hear a few ladies dialing in now trying to get your deets.
I'm a proud northern woman. You're talking my language, David.
Do you want a bit of sexy talk, Kath?
Cool. If you're going to say chuff, let's hear it.
I'm going to blow bubbles up your chuff.
Could you clip that for me, please, Amy?
And?
Watch out for the... No, I don't want to do this.
Come on, you're getting me going. You can't just leave me dangling.
Yeah, I'll leave you dangling.
Was that sexy
that
talk? I don't know what that was.
No.
I tell you what, David, let's have a sexy talk off.
What, between who, me and you?
Me and you, and Kath will decide who is the sexiest.
I'll work it out by working out who makes my ovaries shrivel the most.
Okay. I'll go first.
Ladies first.
Oh.
Kath, I'd like to lick your hair.
Oh.
Your turn, David.
Oh. Kathleen.
Mm.
Yes, I know her name.
Can I rub it?
Oh.
Hello, Catherine.
Hi.
Have you ever seen one like this before?
Sadly, yes.
Oh.
Kathleen.
Yes?
Do you want to see it wobble?
Yes, I do.
Catherine.
Yes?
Is this boy bothering you?
Not nearly enough.
Oh.
Kath?
Yeah?
Yeah. Can I mold them like dolls?
No, bugger off, I'm not in the mood.
Catherine?
Right.
What?
Oh.
I can smell your bum.
Oh.
Thanks, I washed it. That's my birthday.
I'm going to exit right now.
Yeah, I would. I don't think you can go much.
I think that's his sexy talk. That's what he says when he's about to finish. I'm going to exit right now.
Probably for the best, baby. It's probably for the best.
You should have said that 9 months ago, baby.
Have you been spying on me?
you know, my darling, I'm going to exit right now. That's going to be my finishing line.
Do you remember we used to have a colleague?
Are you talking about Dealey?
No, I'm not going to name this colleague for the obvious reason.
Are you talking about the fella that got all the pornos delivered to work? A guy where Catherine worked, before I worked there.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Hi, how you doing? I'm sorry, but I'm not home. But if you leave your name and your number, I'm gonna get back to you. Ooh. Yeah.
I love your cover versions.
03444991000 is the telephone number. Switchboard is empty. I don't know why, because we've put out killer topics. Oh, no, I haven't. I've just thought them in my head.
You've done nothing.
I'm lifting the ban on every caller we've ever had tonight. Catherine is against this, which means...
I think it's a trap.
Which means... Catherine goes... Because I said this to Catherine outside, right? Do you want to lift the ban on it? I tweeted it, then I said it to Catherine. And she pulled a face that was a disapproving face. Yeah. I said, what's your problem? He went, we'll get an Ofcom. I said, how dare you? How dare you? This show has been up for many, many Ofcoms, and we have not won one yet. And I do not intend to win one now. So if you're banned, the ban is lifted. Remember there was a caller very early on, I won't mention any names, very early on, mental health issues. And we had to ask her, that doesn't reveal too much, to stop calling in because one day after the show, one of her friends emailed me to say that this person had attempted suicide and was in hospital because of, and they'd done it because of something that had happened on the show. And I, of course, felt terrible, terrible about it. Then I did a little bit of detective work and found out this person hadn't attempted to take their own life. In fact, the email was not from a friend, but was actually from them. And this person had also set up multiple Twitter accounts, generally as men, sending us the most vile abuse. So they would quite often spell the same words wrong.
Yeah, they were also contacting, in a similar way, lots and lots of late-night radio hosts up and down the country.
Yeah, well, she's on the radio a lot on BBC London. Her era... a lot on there, and I think, oh, you've got a nerve.
One of my friends from the university was one of the hosts that she was calling.
You've got a nerve.
But, you know, it's a mean trick, because actually we felt for her and we invested quite a bit.
That was the thing. I understand that obviously the mental issues, I'm being deliberately vague here, because I don't want to, some of you may know, but it was nearly 4 years ago, so most of you won't. But in a show that is built around honesty, and particularly me sharing, and you share as well, Kath, particularly the mental health stuff I share a lot, for someone to do something as mean as that, and that's a mean trick. Obviously, that person has mental health issues, but are not the ones that we were led to believe they were. It's the one where people feel it's necessary to do wicked, wicked lies like that. And we were both so upset that we had comforted this person. We had trusted this person. We had allowed them to be part of our community. And they would do something.
Here's the thing I remember as well.
As mean as that.
The thing that had apparently prompted this fictitious, it turns out, attempt to take her own life wasn't us. It was something someone had said.
On Periscope, wasn't it?
And we had shown her nothing but love and respect and understanding.
And for months afterwards, we would get abuse. She wouldn't contact us directly, but these fake Twitter, they would just pop up.
The suggestion was that this person was waiting for us outside.
Oh, yeah, there was that, wasn't there? I'd forgotten
And then
that.
I did a Google image search. Thank you, Catfish. all those afternoons watching the Catfish marathons and not completely wasted. Google image search, reverse image search, and found out it was this New York comedian. I got in touch with him and said, do you realise this person is using your images? He complained to Twitter. They found that there was no case to answer.
Here's the thing, guys. I'm not going to go into detail because it's not really my place, but some of you will have read the activities on Twitter tonight and some of the news stories about this radio station. I know some stuff and I don't know some stuff, but I've been kind of entrusted to not really say stuff. You know, I've had a kind of confidential phone call where I know some things and there is some stuff that is still a mystery. So and I'm saying this in the spirit of honesty, right? Because I don't want you to go, well, you were keeping stuff from us. Some stuff I kind of have to, because it was in a confidential phone call with someone high up here, right?
Well, and also it may or may not have implications for other people.
Exactly. Thank you.
But it looks very likely that the station is going through another changing process, as radio stations do. My contract runs out, I think it's the 21st or 20th of March. I'm hoping I can make it that long. Any longer than that would be an absolute bonus. I genuinely don't know, but I have to kind of put myself first. I put my family first, and I have to put Catherine and Catherine's family first. We are treating this as though this is the last three and a half months of us being here. I don't know, and I don't think I'm breaking any confidence by saying that. Again, some of you will have seen the story that's out there. That's not really my place to comment on that at the moment. So we are treating this as though this is the end of the line. Boy, what if it is? What a ride!
Yeah.
No hard feelings from me.
Treating it like it's the end of the line doesn't mean that. So we're going to sit back and not bother.
Oh God! Au contraire! The next 3 months, if we are blessed with being here that long, it's going to be some of the best radio I've ever done, Kath's ever done, and that you have ever heard. If you like what we do, we're kind of taking it to the next level, guy. We got Dirk Benedict coming on the show tomorrow, for God's sakes.
And Pete Heat.
We got an 18 man and a magician man. Magician man.
Okay, yeah.
So that is happening, right? Beyond that, I don't know. But we are going to rock up for as long as they want us, and we are going to give you the goddamn best shows you've ever had in your life. You're not going to hear me slag off this company. You're not going to hear me say one bad thing, because for the last nearly 4 years, this place has fed my kids. It's paid my mortgage. It's bought my subscription to adult sites.
And they've also allowed us to be as free as we've ever been on the radio.
So if it comes to the end, I'll do what I did, not at the last place, because they stitched me up like a kipper. But the place before that, I will shake my bosses firmly in the hand. I will look them in the eye, and I will thank them very, very much for letting us play in their house. And then I'll go and sit in the car and cry. That's what I'll do. But look, so that's all I can tell you at the moment. And I don't want to dwell on it too much, because it's not fair on other presenters. It's not fair on... And it's boring.
And also, we don't really know.
Boring. So, listen, come and get it while it's hot, guys. Monday to Friday, me and Kath, we're still up in the air as to whether we're going to do New Year's Eve or not. The excitement of doing that has kind of dipped for me ever so slightly. So we're going to make a decision in a couple of days whether we do that or not. But come and get it while it's hot, man. 0344-499-1000. If you've ever thought, we didn't do the 22 ads, did we? Pointed at you accusatory there. I didn't mean to. We'll do it in a second. If you've ever thought, man, I want to phone those two up, but I haven't got the guts, I haven't got anything to say, now is the time to do it. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow, right? Now, right this very second, 10:41 and 51 seconds, is the time to pick up the telephone and give us a call, 0344-499-1000. You've got Amy working on the phones tonight, who is a delight. She will take your name and number, will give you a call straight back. If you've always wanted to phone up and tell us you think the show is crap, now is the time to do it. We are the band playing on the Titanic while everybody's scrambling for the lifeboats. Me and Catherine are here, and we are playing more songs for your entertainment than you could ever imagine. June, stay there. You're next. 0344-499-1000. The Late Night Alternative with Ian and Kath.
The Late Night Lip Service for lovers, loners and lounge lizards.
Yeah, well, where exactly is your accent from?
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Oh, I've forgotten your name already, excuse me.
On Talk Radio.
I swear to God, this show is about celebration, it's about joy, it's about life, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, as long as me and Catherine have got a pass that works here, we're going to come in here every weeknight, apart from the 2 weeks off over Christmas, and we're going to give you bloody BGE, bloody good entertainment. A succulent Chinese meal? Let's go to June. Good evening, Junie Woonie.
Good evening, Ian. Good evening, Kath.
June.
I'd like to win... doofus number 31 and 399 here.
Well done. Congratulations.
But the best of all, platinum doofus number 30.
Platinum. Did you say number 330?
Yeah.
Oh, that's she a good called one. In. It's not a good one, Catherine. That's the best one.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, June.
The number 30 platinum membership card. There are still some membership cards available for sale at ianlee.com/shop/, I think. And I've got a few I've got posted out. The thing about number 30 is when me and Catherine were doing it, we knew it was for you, and we decided we were going to make that the most special card. And we licked it.
Mm-hmm.
We kissed it.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
I bowed Ooh. Down in front of it naked every morning for a month, June. That is imbued. That I have suntanned my perineum.
Oh, my God.
Whilst holding that card. Ooh. That's got special juice on it.
And I did the downward dog on it every day for a week.
Oh, no. Not a week.
A whole week, June.
Wonderful.
What have you got
and
to...
I can also report...
Oh, yes.
...that I have listened to the 7-inch single.
Did you like my 7-inch?
I liked it.
But?
Dylan liked it.
But?
Rachel liked it.
But?
Charlie liked it.
Anybody else you want to name?
Dylan's mum didn't like it.
Oh, screw her, loser. And that was rude of me. That was a knee-jerk reaction.
But you're an artist. We put our heart and soul into
it. And she
that.
Is a loser. And
Marianne's
she should...
dad didn't like it.
Absolute they say, beanhole.
Is that it?
What a beanhole of a man. I'll show him it in the car park, the Talk Radio car park, 1:30 this morning. If he's man enough to slag off a record, I tell you what, critics, your job is to criticise. My job is to create. You try creating, and I'll try criticising. One is very, very hard. The other one is very easy, and I know which is which.
Oh. Well, yeah, so do I. I mean, we liked it.
Good.
We loved it.
Good.
Here's the thing.
Of course, it was really good.
We made it for you. We made it make it for those people.
We made it for the fans.
Yeah.
We made this one. We I made know. This one for the fans. You know, this one's for the fans. But, you know, it's not for the haters. The haters are going to hate. You know, as my good friend Taylor Swift says. You know, but this one we made for the fans. You know, it's for the fans.
Well, you have now been replaced into your sleeve.
Yeah, thank you.
And put back in the knicker drawer with the saxophone player. His photograph and his CD.
Thank you very much. I just love being snuggled up with your knickers, June. Thank you, June. See the picture? Did I send you the picture of, you know, Hanson have got three members in?
Yeah.
There's a fourth Hanson brother. Did I send you the picture of the four Hanson boys?
Yeah.
He looks like Weird Al Yankovic after a really bad year.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Here we go. Don't say you're about to shut up and then carry on talking, Peter Heaton, the magician, for crying out loud. There we go. My Lord Jesus. There's nowhere to go with that. My Lord Jesus, my Lords, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Late Night Alternative. My name is Ian Lee. Catherine Boyle is downstairs getting some Americans, some American guests. That means for the moment it's just me and Pete Heat. Hey, Pete.
Hi, Ian.
Hi, Pete.
Hi.
You're not that much of a magician because
Thank you.
You went to the wrong building.
Yeah, you're not that much.
How do you do it?
Not that much of a host because you sent me to the wrong building.
Kath thought that I told you where it was. I thought that she told you where it was. It's nice to see you.
It's nice to see you.
Yeah,
I turned up at the other place and I looked in the window and there's just like one guy with a paint roller and I thought, that's not Ian.
That is not Ian.
Yeah.
Now, you know that we've got other guests coming in.
I'm aware of that,
You've been told this.
I have, yeah. It's quite exciting.
It is very exciting. I can see them walking past. I'm genuinely a little bit nervous as they're about to enter. I think we need to kind of stand up and give them a round of applause.
I think we probably should.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. Dirk Benedict live on air as he comes in. Look at this. Come on. Dirk, would you like to sit there, sir?
I would like
brother,
to.
Lovely. I'm going to see you.
Good to see you. Yeah, since
we met like 15 years ago.
I think I remember.
No, you don't. Come on.
I do.
He does have a
It was television.
It was television.
And
you
it
turned
was a
up
bunch
on...
of people. It was wild and loose.
It was very early.
And fun.
You turned up on a motorbike.
And I showed up really early on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Somebody driving me.
Yeah. Come and sit down. We're on the air now. This is it. This is as good as it gets. This is Pete. Pete is my friend. He's a magician.
Nice to meet you.
I don't know if you...
No, we'll provide the magic. We don't need...
Now, which one's Roland?
I'm Ron.
Roland.
My son Roland is
Sean.
Business partner Sean.
There we go.
Hey,
come and this is Pete. Very nice to meet you guys. Think you've come
Pleasure.
To a very laid back, kind of relaxed. I don't know what day it is. Wednesday. Sure. Wednesday evening. Come closer to the microphone, Mr. Benedict, sir. God, you're so.
Are we starting?
We're on.
Are we on
with
air?
Respect, you're a little bit older than I remember, but goddamn it,
so are you, pal? Oh, come buddy. On.
But goddamn it, you're so good looking. How are you doing this?
He's straight, by the way.
You're in your you got to be what late 40s.
Well, you
late
used
40s?
To be. I don't know. Everything's upside down.
I used
down
to be.
Now.
I'm bisexual now. So
are you?
Maybe
good for you.
It's gotta mix it up.
Exactly.
I have my days when I identify as something other than totally, utterly masculine, but. That's between
but you must
you and
have
me
had
and the 45 listeners you have.
who'd lie to him about the numbers? Catherine, we're sharing a mic tonight.
Excellent.
I hope you don't mind. This is the Beast of Reality. You must have had, though. Look, I mean, you are a very handsome man. It's not.
Wow.
Come on.
He's all right. He's a bit of all right.
I'm all right.
You must have had your fair share
I'm
of.
I'm so old now. You have no idea.
I do. I googled it.
I forget you can Google.
But you don't look it.
All I do is giggle.
I've been messing with the numbers for years. You're fine.
Keep shaving. Now, Roland.
This is my job. Yeah.
Be quiet. I'm not talking to you now. I'm talking to your son. Your son is the guy I want to talk to.
He's more interesting than me, anyway. And he's the reason I'm here. Actually, I'm the reason he's here. Now that I think
Roland,
about it.
Is he going to be like this? Do we have to ask him to sit outside?
Sometimes.
Okay,
sometimes.
Right. I don't know how old you are, Roland.
Spun it. I stay off the web.
Okay. At what point, and we got business to do as well, we're going to do some business, I'm going to need links and stuff off you, because we're going to sell shed loads of these. As long as we don't use the word soccer, we're going to be okay.
Proper football.
But at what point did you realise your dad was Dirk Benedict? The Dirk Benedict.
Well, I don't remember this, but the story was, I was four at the park. At the park I was playing with in California informed me that my dad was on a TV show.
Yeah.
And I ended up going back to my dad and said, Dad, he says you're on the A-team. Is that true? I told him you weren't. And, of course, he had to politely tell his four-year-old son that, yeah, that child is correct.
And had you seen the A-team?
At that point, no.
Right.
I at about 10 years old is when I started to. We had VHS tapes of some of the episodes,
yeah.
And so in Montana, in a small log cabin, I would play hooky from school and get to watch A-Team episodes.
Wow!
And his brother had a childhood with me in Montana that you couldn't imagine.
Go on.
And it would take. We'd have to do another show to discuss it. A log cabin with a wood cook stove and kerosene lamps.
Wow!
This is in the modern century, you know. And we had no TV. We had a TV with. We could play tapes. We played a lot of Monty Python, right?
The TV screen was half the size of this monitor.
Yeah.
So
you would never know I made my living on that bloody thing, and I never let them watch it.
Why did you not let them watch it?
No, it was I didn't let them. There wasn't a TV, and I didn't want one, and it was just me and Ron and his brother, and there wasn't time, really, and I taught him how to play poker. We played Monopoly. Great poker players, and we had conversations.
Shut
and
up.
I wanted to have.
No, you did not have conversations with your children.
I love talking.
How dare you?
I like to chat.
Do you, Doug? I haven't noticed. Did.
So why Montana? Was it a conscious attempt?
I was born there.
Aha. And you wanted to get away from L.A., or that was never an issue?
No, I didn't hate L.A., but I didn't want to raise my kids there. And I'd had this wonderful 25 years there and got to do a show called The A-Team, which was sort of, I did things after that, but it was so exciting, so fun, and so different, and everything after that was boring and slow, and it drove me nuts, so.
Does it upset you that, because we said you're coming on, and you've done loads of stuff. One person mentioned you playing Columbo in a play.
Only one?
Exactly. And everyone else was like, Battlestar Galactica, The A-Team.
Yeah.
But you've done so much more stuff. Does that kind of get to you a bit that, it's those two roles that are the main
better
thing.
Better those two than nothing. Number one, number two, I like being remembered for basically two shows: Battlestar Galactica, and they were because they were family shows.
Yeah,
and they were family shows that the world really has watched. So I'm not known as playing characters that are disgusting and ugly and that you wouldn't want your kids to. So it's kind of nice. I mean, I have no problem with that, and you know, I wouldn't mind getting to do some of the roles of the other actors, but I never got. But it is kind of nice, and I go all over. I don't do it so much anymore, all over the world, and meet people who watch the show with their children. Yeah. So they were family shows. So if you're going to be remembered for something, I, you know, because I'll be gone sometime, I may drop dead right on this show.
Wow. That would be a it's with respect.
These two guys.
That's
a legendary mic drop.
Now, listen, are you...
They've dragged me all day long. We've been going all over London, you know, trying to find somebody to let us go on the air. Finally.
They knocked and they said, well, I mean, I suppose... Are you a fan of magic, guys? Because we got Pete Heat.
I do love close-up magic.
Pete, would you...
You don't look so keen. you don't look so keen.
I'm not a fan of magic.
No, I can tell. I can tell. No, I can pick it up on it.
I don't know, because I find life magical. He doesn't watch TV. He knows he's never seen... So.
I used to watch the A-Team. To be honest, magic has... Either people love it, or they go, not so much. Not for me. Yeah. What is it? Is it that you... You just think it's childish, or is it like...
People have
different reasons.
I love childish. It's that... I don't know whether I don't like being fooled, or I know there's an answer to the magic that they do, and so we go, oh, well, we don't know, so we're supposed to... Because when you make a card disappear on stage, I mean, we know you didn't really make it disappear, so...
Well, it's not really.
And the other real reason is that life is magical. My life has been magical that there's... real magic in my existence, and I don't get thrilled by
Well, Pete, with that in mind, that the person next to you doesn't get thrilled by what you do, thrill us.
Good luck.
Good luck. Tough crowd.
Roland loves it.
Pete, what have you got for us?
We'll start off with a little one to get warmed up, right? So imagine I reach into my pocket and I pull out a handful of change, okay? Like coins, right?
English change.
Yeah. I'm giving them a little jingle. It's an imaginary jingle, so at home, just imagine.
He's shaking an empty hand.
Yeah, there's nothing in it. And imagine I dump that change down on the counter and it makes the noise that it would make if I did that, right?
Yes.
Ian, I'll try this with you. Let's say it's less than £5, and it's not like a particularly even number. It might not be like £1, £2, three. Okay. It's some random number, but it's less than £5. How much is it?
I would say it's £3.26.
£3.26. You sure you don't want to change your mind?
I don't want to change my mind.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Earlier I went to a cafe and I bought some stuff, a coffee among other things, and I got some change and I dumped it on the counter and I actually took a picture of it. Let me show you. In fact, if you go to the pictures on my phone there.
What am I going to see? Careful now.
And you go to the photos. I'm clicking photos. The last picture taken, which is probably a couple of hours ago now.
Okay.
Can you see it? Is there a wallet with some coins on it? Can you see that?
The bottom.
The wallet with the coins, yeah.
Count up the amount of change that is in that picture.
Right, this... What did I...
You said...
There's £3.26. You can't... No, you guys... There's a picture
is of... Is it £3.26? I don't know. Roland Charles.
He doesn't understand English money. Right. Can you...
Well, I gotta see.
It
looks like a £2 coin, a £1 coin.
That's three.
So we're good there.
Yeah.
Two ten pence, a 5 pence, and a 1 pence.
But we weren't here when they.
This
they
could be set up.
It could be a setup.
You got it.
Well, also, look at the time. Look at the timestamp of when it was taken as well. 8:13 today. So this is a long time ago. But yes, you're right. Maybe Ian could be in on it.
No, that was good.
Such a tough crowd.
Do you want to see? You guys are mates, right?
We are mates. So that could have been a fix,
Ian. It's the old 327 trick. We'll open with the 327. take it from there. Now, do you want to see something a bit more visual there?
Yeah,
so you can actually see something.
Visual would be good on radio.
That's why.
Do people know what you look like? It's been years since you're on the telly.
That's what they say to you.
They don't know who.
No, I did a reality.
I signed an autograph today, by the way.
Did you?
Big.
George Peppard.
How did you know? I still
That's
have.
Real magic.
He's got hair under that hat.
I'm wearing a hat and I took it
normally,
off.
Normally,
he's suspicious.
When actors or performers of a certain age wear a hat, you think, I know what's good.
Right,
you've got a great head of hair. Go on, Pete, do one more, and then we're going to talk shin pads, guys.
Okay, all right, that's it. You're right, visual is not ideal for the radio, which is why I didn't open with that one.
Thank
you, I'm a lovely...
He's very tall as well.
Don't stand up.
Okay, you know what, this is, for the listeners, this is a pack of cards being shuffled. There you go, it's like you were here, isn't it? I'm watching
closely.
Okay, you watch closely. And as I spread through there...
Oh, he's shaking!
As I spread through there, can you check that they're all different? They're not all the same card, right?
Okay.
Can you see, Dirk?
Can
you see?
I can.
Yeah, could, yes. Could you take one out? Take one out.
Where's my glasses?
Okay, so start again. Yeah. So take one out from somewhere in the back. Okay,
this is the weirdest show we've ever done.
Okay. Are you sure you want the nine of diamonds? By the way, I'm saying this while looking in the other way.
Where's the mirror? He did.
It's the nine of diamonds, right?
He guessed right.
He guessed right. Don't demean his art.
I'm very lucky.
That's very good.
Tell you what, could you mark that in some way? If you put like it could be initials or your name or whatever you want.
Sign the bloody thing.
How do you spell Mr. T? I'm nervous.
Yeah, I was going to say, now you shake it. Right, anyway, so we got, TB here?
Yep.
Okay, you know, I'm going to stand up just so from across the room you can see as well.
Is this loud enough you can hear it?
Basically, we'll do this a couple of times. This is the worst trick for anyone listening.
He's putting the card back in the packet.
Yeah, right, about halfway in, would you say it again?
Yeah, hopefully
you didn't see the move, which is basically what I did. I brought it back to the top, so I've actually controlled it. You see that? It's right on top.
Well, I didn't see that.
I'll show you that.
Look again.
I'll show you again, but watch really closely. So the DB card.
Okay,
your initial card. It's about what? Halfway in, would you say? Has there been any moves?
That's what she said.
Turn over the top card.
Oh, come on!
I hate that. I don't like not knowing. I feel so stupid. Shall I tell you what's going on there?
So what it is, I have a duplicate card, a duplicate nine of diamonds with your initials on. I'll show you what I mean. It doesn't seem like that would be possible because I didn't know what card you were going to take or what your initials were going to look like, right? But look, in my wallet, in the middle is a zip compartment.
Oh, this is
okay, and inside the zip,
opening his wallet.
There's an envelope. There's an
envelope.
Which is sealed.
That's sealed.
Open it, Dirk.
Come on.
Love it.
No.
Love it.
And that's properly sealed, right?
It's very well sealed.
I'm surprised no one wants to seal me.
He's
going to
get furious at me.
And I did.
Bless you. We're back on the air. We've got Dirk Benedict. We've got Pete Heat. We've got Roland Benedict. We've got Sean Person.
Right.
Hello.
That's the name. We couldn't believe that was the last name. That's a great name.
Crazy.
Now, Sean and Roland, you two have, you're helping a senior. You're bringing Dirk to see the sights. And can I ask, as a travelling companion, Sean, you're not related to him, are you?
I am not.
Come and get a little bit closer to that microphone.
I'm not.
What is he like to travel with?
Dirk Benedict?
Be honest.
So many good stories. So many good stories.
And I bet there's stories that we can't broadcast.
Non-stop.
But so how...
You gotta dive deep.
Now, so, Roland, you are a football player.
Correct. And so is Sean.
Sean's a football player. Okay. Yeah. And well done for responding to the word football and not soccer, because I know it can get... I'm not a sporty guy, but I've got kids that like...
Let's go with football.
actually, looks quite sporty.
Thank you very much. Catherine's very sporty, aren't you?
He's active in his chair.
Very, very active. I've got butt plugs in. Now, that's irrelevant to this.
Huh?
But you're professional footballers.
No, I was. It's in a small way at one point.
What do you mean in a small way?
I played in Belgium. Smaller club in Belgium.
Okay.
But I was...
But you were getting paid for it.
I was, so it counts.
Yeah, that counts.
So it counts.
Totally counts.
Man City actually was the club that kind of pioneered me going to Belgium and mainland Europe. And I spent a lot of time in the youth academies at Southend United. And so I've done the whole English football
setup. Because obviously, what I know about soccer in America...
He's
the host.
He said soccer. He's what we see in films with Will Ferrell and stuff.
Yeah,
it's kind of
Jack Nicholson shouting at his boy.
Yeah, it's a very niche thing. So how does an American boy... Who's in a Montana in a cabin with his dad, not watching the A-team. How do you get into football?
I just went out and started. I love to run.
Right.
And I started all the traditional American football, baseball, and they were fun. And I was successful at it. I was an athlete. It was just so boring.
Really?
Standing there waiting for someone to throw a ball for somebody else to miss.
Mm-hmm.
It was just boring. And so I was a basketball player. It was my first sport.
So you're very tall and slim. So I'm guessing American football, you kind of need to have a bit of...
I used to be short and slim. Now I'm short and stocky.
I just started playing and continued to play through high school. And I had the crazy idea. I hated school.
Yeah.
And I had the crazy idea that I knew, starting to watch English football, and I knew that... The younger you are, the better chance you had to play professionally. And my goal was to be playing the NBA and eventually be a professional athlete.
Yeah.
I changed from basketball to football, proper football. So I luckily had a dad that said yes to my crazy idea of let's move to England and try and play professionally. I had no agent. I had no interest.
How old were you?
I was 18. I graduated from high school.
Did you move with him or did you send him over? How did that?
I sent him over, gave him some money and said,
go out of the house.
No, I didn't. I went with him. I tag along. I live vicariously through my sons. Yeah. I have three of them. I have no life except theirs.
That's what it becomes when you're a parent.
Sean knows. Sean, I go to all their games. And, no, that's not quite true. Although it's the best part of my life is having raised my kids. But no, we came together. We got a flat over in Putney by Putney Bridge.
Did you?
Yeah, we lived here. Oh, yeah, we lived. And then we called around, got a trial. He had a trial at Gilliam, and they liked him. They kept him for a couple weeks, and they were. And then Southend called. He went down there, and they loved him, and they put him on that guy. And then Man City called. Then he came, and then Man City called and said, you know, we heard about the. Can I tell the Apple story?
Cause you can tell the Apple story.
Or you want to tell it?
No, you tell it. I'll interject.
It's
I'll
better if I. Because the personnel guy from Man City told me this story. He said, we heard about this America. There's not many
take
Americans.
Take a picture of you guys while you're talking to tweet this. Go on, you carry on.
All right. No, but I can't pose while I'm talking.
By the way, it was Hayden Roberts at Manchester
City.
There's
magic in this picture. It's magical. It's magic.
It was Hayden Roberts, the former head of player care at Manchester
City. I love
the way
you're coming to start telling the story because he's getting no
he's getting distracted. He gets distracted.
He got the camera out. We'll stop.
the head of player care at Manchester City was the one that heard this story, the Apple story, from Southend.
He says, yeah, they called. I said, well, how? He said, well, we heard about this American, this young kid at Southend, and he's got skills. He's behind the other players because in America, the coaching is not as good. But he has stamina and he has endurance. He's smart. He's got all this stuff. He said, but the thing that really everybody was curious, he said, because he would come off the training pitch, you know, and you know, they train from 9 till like they come in and they have a big bowl of candy and the players would grab some candy to get a little sugar. And Roland come in and said, excuse me. And they come up. Yeah. And he said, do you have an apple? And I go, and we got an apple. So they go, and we got an apple. Back to blood. The lad wants an apple. So they go and they find an apple.
In that culture.
No, wait.
I know.
They didn't have any apples.
Wow.
So next to the training ground in Southend is a grocery store.
Yeah.
And I left training and went over and bought a bag of apples and started just having apples that I left the training ground and ate apples. And eventually I convinced, brainwashed more of the players to start eating apples.
Yeah, because he had great endurance. And some, and then other players. Ricky, the manager, told me this. He's pretty
Ricky
soon.
Duncan.
He had half the Ricky Duncan had half the players eating apples. It's like Apple Annie. I said it's like Johnny Appleseed. He could take over in English football with the apple, with the whole. Well, it was this. So
anyway,
is the apple of my eye. So
now.
But anyway, so they called. So they wanted
to go home.
So they wanted to bring him up for a couple days.
Yes,
and he stayed for 4 or 5, 6 weeks, and then they kind of he could tell the rest of the story.
Now, okay, so you've been playing football, and now we have these. I'm going to open these. I'm opening these on air. We have bamboo.
Shin pads.
But this box doesn't look big enough to have shin pads in it.
Come on now.
Whoa. These are classy, man.
It's a classy box.
Look at that.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Look at that.
I'll protect your shins. Good. Oh, a little bit of some neoprene padding on the inside there.
Describe it, Pete. Sell it. You're on QVC.
What have we got? We've got a kind of engraved L for legend there. Burnt. Sort of burnt into the wood, would you say? and then on the inside, you've got this really grippy yet soft neoprene padding. And to be honest, it's the classiest shin pad I've ever seen. It genuinely is.
Watch him,
he's
going to go up his sleeve.
Yeah.
Okay, so why bamboo? Because I'm not football. My boys are 7 and 9, and they love football, so I go and watch them, and it's such a joy. You know what it's like. It's the best thing, man. So why are these better? Why should we be getting these instead of the other shin pads?
Well, I mean, look at them.
Well, they're beautiful.
They're the most gorgeous thing in the room besides Catherine.
Oh, jeez. He's American.
And she'll have a pair. No, there's been no change in shin pads. They're plastic. They're a different shape, a different color. And Nike and Adidas throw a different logo on it, and it's the same product. Mm-hmm. So for us, and well, Sean, when I met Sean, we were playing a semi-pro level of football in the States. And we sat down over a pint, and Sean told me the brilliant idea he had of we need to have innovation in some new products. And the one that we went after was the shin pad.
Yeah.
And so it was many years of trying to figure out the best material.
Why is it bamboo?
It's, well, we
can I hit Catherine with it and test it?
I mean, you can, absolutely. It's incredibly lightweight.
Yeah.
It's a sustainable material, so it's environmentally friendly, which is a big thing that we stand on. Is the plastic shin guards, they're all of them that have been made are probably still on the planet.
Mm. But what are the pandas going to eat, Roland? You're not thinking about the pandas.
Bamboo grows like a weed. In 2 to 4 years, that bamboo stock that was cut down is back up
again. Okay.
So well, full size. Sustainability. You know what sustainability means, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I got an idea. Thank you for clarifying.
But they're pretty strong, lightweight.
Stuff them. We've tried helping them.
Stuff a panda. There we go. Something.
And they're built to last.
Okay. Where's the place? I'm going to tweet a link. Legendsoccer.com.
Correct.
Is the place. Yeah. At LegendSoccerCo. So I'm going to tweet this right now. So if you want to go and have a look at these, LegendSoccer.com is the place to go for these. And they are...
They look really good.
They're very beautiful.
There is a kicker to these.
Oh.
So... listeners can't see it, but our logo is in the center of the shin pad.
Yeah.
We actually do full custom. So we can take anything from your favorite club logo to the talk radio logo to your and Catherine's face.
Wow. Ooh. I want to be on
the
shin pads.
Laser engrave them into the front of the shin pad.
I've been a shin pad.
So you got to order some and we'll put them in here for the radio show.
It's happening. LegendSoccer.com. is the place to go if you want to have a look at these.
That's actually a brilliant present, a Christmas present.
Yeah, it's wicked. And it comes in a classy box. You're getting a little bag to keep them in. Look at this.
I'm sorry, bag.
I'm going to get some Ian Lee shin pads to just wear around the house.
Nothing else.
Is good.
Listen, we're going to plug that link again before you. Are you right to stay till 11? Is that okay? Or what time are you going?
It's your show. We'll stay until you start boring us. When you tell us to leave, we'll go.
We'll keep talking until the last listener.
We can
stay till 1.
We'll take another half.
Keep you to 1.
It's only 10:30.
I don't know what that means. Is he saying he wants to go now or he wants to stay all week? I don't understand.
Does
he want to go or does he want to stay? The story of my life. I can never decide. Are you in or out?
Can you give us another trick? Would you mind?
Absolutely. Yeah, do you want to say another trick?
Can you make me disappear?
I want to hear
Hollywood did. Hollywood made me disappear.
Oh, no.
Oh, it did. Yeah.
This is a brand new one.
We've got a couple of calls
if you know.
Okay, this is a brand new one, so I've got no idea if it's going to... Well, I think it'll work, but that's it. So I have my business cards here, and I have... Let me just touch this up. I've drawn a little stick man on one of them. Can you see that? He's got a top hat on. It's a pretty neat business card. He's got a little top hat on because he's a bloody magician. Let's say he represents you for the sake of this trick. So that's you once you decide to take up magic instead of selling shin pads. And what's your performer's name? What should we call you?
My performer?
Do you have a stage name as a magician now?
Oh, as a magician? Yeah. I'm called Dirk the Great.
Dirk the Great. So I'm going to write that on the top there.
Again, back to some of the women in your life, no doubt. Right. You as that.
No, that'd be Dirk the Not So Great.
Okay, so we're in Dirk the Great on the top of the business card, and there's a little stick man with the top hat on the bottom, right?
Right.
Dirk, I'm going to give that to you to hold on to for a second. Okay, so in fact, if we put it face down, put your hand on top of that for me so I can't tamper with that. Okay, great.
Hand is on the top.
So, something I've got as well is I've got a list of, it was one of those sort of 100 holiday destinations to go to before you die. You know what?
Yeah.
Bubble in my throat there. Just so emotional. One of those lists that I got on off the internet. So it's like 100 different places. Dirk, could you give me a number between 1 and 100? Whatever.
What's it? 49.
49, sure. Don't want to change? Okay, and I'm going to show you this, and I'll show you all of you guys this list. Eiffel Tower, Great Wall of China. They're all different all the way down.
Wow.
So what did you say? 49.
Yeah.
Okay, so 49 on this list is the Pyramids of Giza, right?
Okay.
And they're all different.
I wouldn't
all
mind
the way, all different. All the way.
So that is where
Dirk the Great is headed to do his next show, right? Now, here's the thing, Dirk the Great.
By camel?
Yes, by camel.
I always wonder
why.
Peter O'Toole.
So, Dirk, you chose that location from the list after I handed you that business card, is that correct?
Yeah.
So, the Pyramids of Giza. Have a look at the card now. Have a look at the Dirk the Great business card now. Turn it over.
Well, I haven't taken my hat off.
No. Dirk the Great is now wearing a fez, and he's standing next to the pyramids.
Wait a minute,
of Giza.
There's two pyramids.
It's clearly
the same stickman.
It's clearly the same card.
I don't recognize the same
card. No, the stickman changed. He's now wearing a fez because he's in Egypt.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.